Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Now, from the IMLD home studios, in its ninth season, you are listening to In Much Less Detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Your football party is live with your hosts, Jay and Dre. That's right, the full two-hour football party is live, recapping week six and getting you ready for week seven tomorrow in the NFL with our picks against the spread. We are here and live. Welcome to In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you on a Saturday night, October the 23rd, 2021. I'm Dre. He's Jay. Hopefully everything goes well on my end tonight. I'm starting with a brand new computer, and hopefully everything goes well with that. We know how we have trouble with our computers and new software and new hardware and everything on this show. So keeping our fingers crossed. Jay, how's everything going over there?
Going well. You actually sound really good. So that's already a positive. Very, very good. Clear coming from your side.
Well, good. The microphone's exactly the same. The setup exactly the same. Just brand new computer. So I'm not surprised it sounds good, because it's, the performance is, of course, just, you know, unbelievable. It's not even, you know, some sort of $3,000 mega gaming system thing. It's a regular old laptop, not very expensive, but it's brand new. So, of course, it's fast as I don't know what. And every website, this is what I thought DSL would be like when I first got DSL back in, God, was it 2001, 2002? Where you just click the website and boom, it's up, right? Instantly like that. It wasn't quite that fast when I finally got DSL, but it was much faster than dial-up, let me tell you. I remember, we're old, we remember dial-up, so.
Oh, man. Could you imagine trying to do this show on dial-up and then like a phone a phone call comes in midway through the show and it gets disconnected. Damn it.
It would never work. We wouldn't even get connected on dial-up. It would take so long. Oh, my goodness.
You'd talk, and then about 30 seconds later, I hear you, and then I would talk. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you'd have the world of podcasts and all that if we didn't have the high-speed internet that we all have now, so that we could talk to each other like this, you know, from that far away. Basically, the best we'd have been able to do would be, tape the show somehow.
Right.
Like on speakerphone, but we know that Russia has copies of all of our old phone calls. So.
Of course, they were always listening.
That's right.
Streaming was not an option back in the dial-up days. So we're all very happy for high speed.
It's fun when I try to explain this to my kids, you know, about watching TV. Like, you had to wait for your show to come on.
Right.
And if you had to get up and go to the bathroom, it didn't matter. That was it. That was your show.
Couldn't pause live TV. You couldn't.
You had to sit through all the commercials.
Right. Couldn't skip commercials. Yeah, all of that. They have no idea.
Like, you get annoyed now when you have to wait 5 seconds to skip the ads on the YouTube videos.
I do.
Like, oh, come on. I can't wait for this 5 seconds to be over.
I do get annoyed. I'm like, come on. What? I got to want to click something.
Come on, where's that timer? Come on. Five. Yeah, Jesus, 5 seconds.
Hurry up.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah.
Well, we put together a couple of good weeks last week, week six. You've got 8 wins, so 8-6 is one of your better weeks this season. But I was still able to get a couple on you, so I went 10-4. I hope I can keep this percentage up, because I'm putting it on right now this year. I'm at 591 for the season.
It won't keep up.
I can hope. I can aim for that 600.
It won't keep up because we already decided last week that you were, you know, getting the lion's share of the you know, quote unquote, of the luck early in the season. You know that that comes back.
You've had some crappy luck. There's no doubt about that.
I have had some bad beats this year. I will say that. I had that bad beat to start the week last week where the Eagles just decide randomly to go for two, which made just absolutely no sense. I had the cover. I'm sitting there watching the Panthers come all the way back. And, you know, this is why I don't bet. Because here I am, when the Panthers score that touchdown to get it to two, that you're just actively rooting for them not to convert the two-point conversion. Right? I'm just like,
right.
All they got to do is get the touchdown and then not get the two-point conversion. And then they get the two-point conversion. And then they blow the cover in overtime. It's just like, of course they did.
Of course.
You know.
Couldn't just lose by two as two-and-a-half-point dogs. Nope.
Yeah. Really questionable decision-making in that Buffalo-Tennessee. Just all kinds of weird. I'm so glad that I'm not putting any real money on games this year because some of the decision-making, these teams with these fourth down calls, it even happened again on Thursday night. You know, sometimes they go in your favor, but sometimes they go against you. I think a lot of these teams getting overly aggressive on fourth down and passing up field goals, it's just blowing my mind how that seems to always come back to bite teams in the ass late in the game.
It's something we've talked about for years and years and years, the in-game decision-making. Some of these coaches just seem to, like they need somebody on their side. They need like a devil's advocate or something to say, hey, buddy, you don't want to do that. No, I know what you're thinking, and you don't want to do that, pal. Take the points.
In that game on Thursday night, there was a drive that Cleveland had, and they got down, and it was fourth down and not a short distance, and they passed up the field goal, and they ended up getting it. I'm like, oh, okay. So it worked out for me because I had Cleveland in there. I still thought it was a bad decision. just because it works doesn't make the decision a good decision. Does that make sense? Like, it's not sound football. It will work for so long, right? Like we talk about those coaches that really like earned that reputation, you know, you're like Gambler Jack and Riverboat Ron. You only go so far. It eventually goes against you.
The winners will say that as long as it wins, it was the right call. That's how they see it.
Unless you're the Bills and you pass up the field goal to tie the game. And you don't get the fourth down. I didn't understand. Oh, what?
They're not winners. They didn't win. So of course they're going to get second guessed.
But it was it wasn't a smart decision. Not a sound decision, even if they had made it. I understand.
No, I was.
You're trying to go for the win there, but in that spot, like last play of the game, fourth down, you don't get this. The game is over. Versus, we can tie this team, and you know we can take our chances at over. We have a high powered offense. We can take this thing into overtime and. I guess they figured their chances were better on a fourth and short to get that. And they had that game covered a couple of times during the game and somehow found a way to crap that one away too. So
it was wild. It was,
odd football.
That was definitely my first question about the Monday nighter between the Bills and the Titans, my lock coming through on the Titans. What did you think of the play call? So if I can remember it correctly and set it up right. So Tennessee winds up winning 34-31, but Buffalo had the final drive after Tennessee took the lead. So it was like 3 minutes left, and the Bills drive like in no time, snap your fingers, and they're already in Titans territory. So it was like a three-minute drill that was going to take them 30 seconds. But at some point they get down to third down, and they come up a foot short.
Right.
And they could take the tie. They could take the field. It was like at the 2 yard line. They could take the field goal and tie it and send it to overtime. But they decided to go for it on fourth. And, you know, they only needed a foot to get the first down. They didn't have to score. So there was, you know, you can get the first down. You can get the touchdown. You can, there's a lot of positive outcomes going forward and trying to go for the lead instead of taking a tie and going to overtime. And they decided to go for it. And usually a quarterback sneak that close probably works, you know, 80-90% of the time. I don't have the number in front of me.
It's not like Josh Allen's a little guy. He's a big guy.
Exactly. Big quarterback, big guy. But his cleats happen to slide, and then he comes up short. Yeah, so you didn't like the call at all right off the bat, whether it worked or not.
Right. You don't go for that. You get down there. You got the field goal. You can tie the game. It's going to go to overtime. Take your chances in overtime. You know, because that one just mystified me. These overly aggressive teams, you know, but you want to live by it. You got to die by it too. And you know, it's not like Buffalo's in any danger here. I mean, it's a 17-game season. They're not going to, you know, Buffalo's not going to crater and not go to the playoffs. That division, you know, I hate to say it, we're in week 7. There's a few divisions that are already over in the league, right? You know, both of the Easts, I think, are over. I don't see Buffalo or Dallas just crapping those things away. You know, Green Bay's going to win theirs. Tampa's, you know. So there's a lot. You know, so Buffalo really – I mean, what are you playing for eventually down the road? Maybe playoff seeding?
Right.
But what are you doing? Are you just trying to not go to overtime? Because it's like, yeah, we don't want to play any extra football. Let's just get out of here. Let's just roll the dice, and if we win, we win. If we don't get it, well, we don't get it. They beat us. I still don't think that's I know I wouldn't have made that decision. I would have kicked the field goal there.
Yeah, I hear you. I didn't hate the call at the time. It's subject to ridicule when you don't get it. So when it backfires, everyone can second guess and say, I wouldn't have liked that. You first guessed and said you didn't like it even before they ran the play. So I understand. I'm not going to say that anybody's definitely right or wrong in that one. I didn't hate it. I don't know if I really liked it or not. I was kind of like, interesting. Okay. You know, when you got that kind of offense and when you've done what the Bills have done this year offensively, that's just arrogance, and I think it's earned. I think I understand why Sean McDermott would be that arrogant to think, yeah, we can do this. We need a foot. You know, we got big man project burning up the league, MVP candidate. Yeah, go ahead and sneak him, and let's get this first down, touchdown, and try to get out of here. We're on the road. It's been an absolute slugfest. Maybe he thought his guys didn't have anything left for it in overtime, you know, on either side of the ball. And so I understand it. You're on the road. I think there's that element. Just try to get the hell out of there. Just try to sneak the win, get that last touchdown, leave them with no time, and just try to sneak out of there. You know, with the gum and the ski mask, and try to get the robbery and get out of there with a victory. And it didn't work this time. But like I said, most of those quarterback sneaks when it's that close, I believe a vast majority of them convert. So. Yeah, I understand the call, and I also understand saying, hey, you're right there. It's a 20-yard field goal. Take the three and go to overtime. I actually understand both sides.
Yeah, so that was a nice, long, non-answer answer.
I'm good at that. 2 hours, yeah. Baby. No, when I have a very strong feeling about it, as you know, I will rant and rave and let everybody know, but... On that one, I was kind of ambivalent.
Yeah, okay. Buffalo, you know, led, that game did go back and forth, but Buffalo did lead the majority of the second half of that game. You know, that it did go back and forth a little bit. But, you know, Tennessee gets that final drive, scores the last 10 points of the game, you know, and Buffalo just, they come up ever so short at the very end, but yeah. Oh, hey, you won your lock. I've given up on locks. What are locks? At this point, it's just like whatever.
What can I say? I felt very strongly about the fact that it was the same Titans team basically last year that beat the hell out of the Bills, and this isn't the same Bills team. I get it, but to think that they were 6-point home dogs in that spot just didn't make any sense to me. So they pull out the straight up W, and that was a fun ass game to watch. Derrick Henry is always fun to watch, especially when he gets ahead of steam. That freight train breaking out of the gate on that particular run. I'm just looking now. This was another first guess. I looked at the box before he got the handoff on the 76 yard touchdown run, and the Bills were stacking the box, and I'm thinking, I don't know if you want to do that against the big man, because once he breaks that next level and you don't have any backup behind him, it's over. And sure enough, yeah, he broke that second level and it was over and he was gone. So yeah,
I don't think people
don't stack
give
the
Derrick
box
Henry
against him.
People don't give him credit for being how fast he is for as big as he is. He's outrunning that secondary.
Yeah, DBs can't catch.
Looks slow.
247 and getting up to 20 miles an hour in the open field. That's fucking unfair, man. That's just, shouldn't be able to do that.
And he's just good for those. You know, he's going to have 3, 4, 5 of those a year, you know, and those are game changers. And that came at the perfect time for them.
Exactly right. It's definitely changed all the momentum, whatever, thought that the Titans may have had, we're in trouble. This is a different Bills team. Derrick Henry says, "Get on my back, boys. Here we go," and just takes it to the next level. And you could feel the stadium. You could feel the people start to believe. You could feel the team believe. Yeah, we're here. We're not going anywhere. We got a good chance to win this one. Everything turned around. He's unbelievable. He is. I think I've said this last year, but I think he's on a Hall of Fame track. You hate to say that about running backs because they're so not fragile, but easily bruised, easier to get beat up because of the nature of their job. So to think that, you know, to call somebody in his mid-20s a possible Hall of Fame running back, but that's what he does. That's how good he is. That's how strong he is. That's how fast he is. If he can stay, you know, healthy and put together, you know, 10, 12 years of this, it's hard to imagine as physical as he is, but if he does, forget about it, first ballot, one of the all-time greats, like he is trucking people and then also running away from them. Again, that's Bo Jackson shit. I'm sorry. I don't want to compare him to an all-timer like that, but that's what Bo did in the 80s. For those who weren't able to watch him in his abbreviated career, he would put his shoulder down and run your ass over. And then also the next series, he'd get open field and run away from you at the same time. It's like, come on, man. I can't do anything against you. I can't bring you down. And then you're running away. I can't catch you. Like, what the hell? So
yeah, just be glad we don't have, right now. Just be glad we don't have Derrick Henry on in Tecmo Bowl.
I wonder how he is on Madden. I wonder how unstoppable he is. Because, man, he's got to be, you know, right there is at the top of any running back list as far as Madden ratings goes. Like, can't bring him down, and then he gets ahead of steam, gets some space, and runs away from you, too. It's sick.
And nobody gives him any MVP talk. Everybody's always going, oh, it's got to be a quarterback. I don't know why that has to be. You know, obviously, it's the most high-profile position, but, you know, Derrick Henry changes games.
Yeah, the nature of the game today, the quarterback is more valuable than ever, more important. You can see all these rookie quarterbacks. If you don't have a good quarterback, you're kind of screwed no matter what. But, yes, you're right. Derrick Henry is as valuable to the Titans as I think any player is to any other team. Imagine the Titans without Derrick Henry. They're, you know, completely middle of the road, maybe even underwater.
Yeah. Imagine Ryan Tannehill without Derrick Henry.
The middle of the road and maybe underwater.
That.
Yes.
We saw that.
We did.
We saw that for a few years in Miami. He was sort of middling. He was the dictionary definition of a middling quarterback.
No doubt. So that was a fun ass game. On the Bills, the one commentary that I do want to make that I remember from that game is I talked about the coaching arrogance, thinking, hey, we can go for it here. And, you know, we got the type of quarterback and the type of offense that warrants going for it. And I saw a lot of arm arrogance from Josh Allen that game. Like I said, I hadn't seen Buffalo football this year, so I didn't know what they, you know, all these blowouts that they were putting up after that first game of the season. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe it. I haven't seen him. I don't know if I buy it. And he just kept blowing people out worse and worse and worse and making me look stupid. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm really looking forward to this Monday nighter so I can see what they're all about and you know, how the hype is. And I, despite Tennessee winning the game as 6-point underdogs, I'm not going to come out and trash the Bills and say they're complete frauds. I see the offensive progression of Josh Allen. I see the confidence. I see the playmaking, and I see the connection with his receivers. is different than last year. It's definitely a different offense. It's definitely a different vibe, a different team. And his arm arrogance, where he's throwing these balls that most guys probably couldn't or shouldn't throw, but he says, you know, I'm Josh Allen. I can do this. I can get that ball there. I love it. And it may have cost him a couple of throws were maybe where they shouldn't be, or, you know, he shouldn't have tried them and it had negative consequences. But overall, I love that. I love the idea that I know what I am physically. I know what I'm capable of. I know what my receivers are capable of. I know that I can trust the veteran Emmanuel Sanders. I know that I can trust, you know, Dawson Knox was actually making plays at the tight end position before he broke his hand, but then goes and runs the Philly special and throws a touchdown, not a touchdown, but a two-point conversion with a broken hand, which is pretty insane. But the fact that Josh has these guys that he knows he can trust and he's building this offense with, is definitely a positive sign. And I actually love that arrogance that he seems to have developed, that, you know, he kind of had that a little bit coming in, that he thought he could get any ball anywhere because of his strong arm. But, you know, clearly it's different now than it was a couple of years ago when he was just airmailing everybody all the time. You know, Stephon Diggs comes in and he straightens up last year. And then this year it seems like there's a continuation, that he's getting even better and even more locked in with his guys. So I guess I'm a believer despite the loss, despite me locking in against them. The Bills are not frauds. Project is not a project. He's a full-grown, full-ass quarterback. And I respect the Buffalo Bills, no doubt.
Yeah. Easy way to solve the problem of overthrowing everybody. Just go get guys that are really hard to overthrow.
They'll just run down the ball no matter where you throw
it. Just go get Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders. Just go get those guys. It makes Josh Allen look way better than the guys he was throwing to before Diggs arrived.
That's a great idea. You should be a general manager.
I got it in me.
So that was fun. A lot of other action last week. I'm not going to get the sound of Aaron Rodgers telling everybody in Chicago that he owns them, because I'm a Bears fan now.
That was great.
Now, Jason's a co-owner of this IMLD thing. He's a co-host. If he wants to get the sound and put it on the soundboard, he can do it.
It's so,
I'm not gonna
even
do
if
it.
You even if you find it though, it's really hard to hear it because there was a lot of. There's not like a really good drop of that. It's not clear.
Right. You have to listen real hard to
get
it because of the crowd.
You have
noise.
To listen. But I do like the fact that after that game was over, somebody went on the Bears Wikipedia page and changed the team owner to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yep. I read about that. I saw that.
Yep.
I can't say anything against it. It's not like he said something untrue. So,
right. I mean, this is what we always want. We want that hot. We want the Richard Sherman, right? We want the hot mic. You know, and Aaron Rodgers, he's a guy that he, you know, I think there's an unfair knock on him for caring or not being very, you know, passionate-y about football. I think he showed that right there.
He definitely has the passion when he wants to, when he's properly motivated.
Yeah, you fire him up. You got fans booing him and giving him the double bird. He's got no problem reminding you who's daddy.
Yeah, he gave you everything. He gave you the discount double check. He gave you the I own you, I still own you. Yeah.
Rodgers!
Yeah, a little bit of everything on that. So good for him. I can't say anything.
He's not wrong.
No. Definitely not.
No, I mean, this goes to your whole summer of hope. You know, you were overdosing on the hopium over there, thinking Aaron Rodgers was a goner. And I know that there was that sad sigh when my prediction came true and he re-upped with the Packers, because that just meant another year. You just go, oh, man, here we go again.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe next year. On the phone line, Lou in Jersey is back with us. Yep. Lou, how you doing?
You forgot about the Rodgers rate, though. That was another thing. Oh, boy.
Yeah, he did it. This time, double check. Yeah. He gave it a little bit of everything.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. This has got to be last year. I mean, he seems to be becoming more disgruntled, you know, every week. And yet he went back to the Packers this year anyway. I don't think it was a smart move on his part. Just seems to be more disgruntled.
It seems like it was sort of a negotiation. Like he was threatening, like he was going to walk away. And this was sort of the compromise. He's going to come back for one more year. I think everyone seems to understand that he's leaving after this year, but they're going to get one more year out of him. And that's what it is. It's basically, you know, he could have taken his ball and went home, but he's going to give him one more season up there in Green Bay.
Yeah, because they're going to offer him a lot more money, I guess, right?
You know, money isn't everything. I think he's
they gave him a pretty rich 2 years on that extension. So it wasn't they didn't cheap out on him. But I think, and I've had this conversation, I don't know if we've had this one on the show, but I've had this conversation, especially with coworkers, you know, because they're all Packer fans. But I think if you're Rodgers and you looked around at the offers or the possible destinations, you know, and it's like, oh, I could go to Denver. Or he's like, okay, where's the place where he could go where he still has the best chance? He's at the tail end of his career. Where's the best chance that he could go right away and still have the best shot at actually winning a title? The place he's at is probably still the answer to that. So, you know, Green Bay is still a really good team, and their defense has been playing really well. You know, as long as you've got Aaron Rodgers and guys, you're going to produce on offense. And I don't think he looked around the landscape and saw a pathway. You know, you don't want to go be part of a rebuild. You don't want to go and, you know, and go somewhere where you got to be the savior of a middle tier franchise. And it wasn't a ready-made situation like Brady had, where they had this really good defense already and then just brought in all these pieces around them. There's not a situation waiting for him like that yet.
I always thought rebuild, though, was such an ugly word. You know, I mean, your franchise is in the toilet. And if you, and like, say if you have, you know, a team that's like, you know, been that way like the last 4 or 5 years in a row, that's not a rebuild. Your team is, you know, trash, plain and simple. A rebuild is like about, you know, maybe 1 to 2 years. But if you're like, you know, say like the Detroit Lions, which is nothing more than a pure dumpster fire.
And proud of it.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know how you can be proud of that.
Well, I mean, just, you know, tongue in cheek, but that's what they do. Okay. They rebuild. That's Detroit Lion football. We rebuild. That should be on the front of the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, because that's pretty much, you know, a joke right there.
Right.
You know, the Packers, you know, were always a solid team, but for the most part.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, they've been in the playoffs just about every year for the last, I don't know, quarter century.
Yeah, as long as I've been alive.
So that's a pretty good track record. You know, you go from Favre to Rodgers. They've had very few losing seasons over that entire run. You could probably count them on one hand.
That's why I say it's not always about money. He came back because they, you know, as Jason said, there's a pathway to contend still with them that there really wasn't in these other places that he was rumored to want to go.
Yeah, it's been but Aaron, I think is starting to lose it a bit.
I was hoping he would fall all the way off these again.
Like
when he's motivated.
I had to leave a little slack. I had to leave a little slack for him.
Speaking of rebuild, do you have any thoughts on your Jets, or do we not want to talk about that?
Only if you want to, because they are a trash heap.
They get the
dumpster fire. I mean, look, every year that, you know, they're always thinking, well, we got this quarterback, you know, Wilson's going to be our man. He's going to help us. He hasn't done much of anything. And yet he's ninth on the list for Rookie of the Year. Oh, yeah. Something like 99th.
I didn't even know they went 9 deep on the list for Rookie of the Year. Does that go on the back of your football card?
Probably, right?
Yeah, I think it does. Although I haven't collected cards in years. But, you know, I think it does. I'll go up there. But he is just another letdown. And meanwhile, his predecessor is having the year of his, is having the best year of his life.
Well, he had the best 3 weeks of his life. It's been a little shaky for Darnold the last few games. That game they had against the Eagles, he basically gave the Eagles almost single-handedly. So it hasn't been as smooth for Darnold the last few games as it was early. So I think he's kind of come back down to earth some.
Yeah, I think Darnold went back to seeing some ghosts again. I don't know.
I see dead people.
And he did play great those first two games, but kind of broken down since then.
Yeah.
So the Jets get the Patriots again. Do you think it's going to go better this time? Because the first time was four interceptions?
I don't. I still see a loss, but you know what? I'm thinking this is going to be more of a defensive game for both teams. I mean, both teams are in the toilet right now, and New England has not been the same, you know, since, you know, Brady and Gronkowski left. I mean, they're back to the way they used to be, you know, pathetic. You know, because even when the Jets have been more bad in those times, New England was even worse. So we're seeing the return of that. So it's more against the return of the toilet bowl. I expect this to be a low-scoring defensive type-like game.
Yeah, that would sound like a
I could
pretty
be
accurate
wrong,
prediction.
But that's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, that's what I would expect. But
oh, good.
I'm
not alone here.
Got to do a little better, though, right? That first game, you got to have some improvement out of your guy, Zach Wilson.
I'm hoping so. I mean, but he doesn't seem to be improving. I mean, you know, he did fine the preseason and his first game, but after that, you know, what have you done for him lately? Well, the answer to that is, well, nothing.
But he is improving. He isn't throwing four interceptions every game. So he's learning something.
Very slowly.
Yeah.
I think the best model for the Jets is going to be the Bengals model, right? They drafted Burrow. Cupboard was pretty bare. Even though he got hurt, they had a really bad season. Either way, they weren't going to have a very good season. And then they loaded up in the took their second run now, and Cincinnati's a much improved team. So that's basically the model the Jets have to follow is, you know, they're gonna take their lumps this year. I don't think anybody really, you know, maybe if you were optimistic, they were a third place team, but the chances were really good. They're drafting in the top 10, maybe top five again this year, even with the rookie.
Keep them
healthy. Don't make his, don't pull a Tua on him. Don't make his, you know,
Don't go there.
And, just try to survive the season and then get a good draft pick, load up, and, you know, try to get them some weapons in free agency, get them a running back, get them some offensive line help. That's where the Bengals really helped out with Joe Burrow was they got him a better O-line, and they got him Jamar Chase. And, oh, look at that. They're a whole new team.
Yeah, I mean, this is the prize team of the year, I think.
Definitely most improved. If there's a most improved, I definitely think it would be.
You call it most improved,
Bengals.
I call it surprise, because I wasn't expecting anything of the Bengals, you know, this year.
Yeah,
I mean,
me neither.
If Trevor Lawrence, if Joe Burrow wasn't hurt last season, which was early, I think the Bengals might have done better because their record didn't show that they were that bad, even though it was bad. But you know, their record didn't show it because you know they had some. These in games, especially with Burrow was in, but after that, they just went downhill. Now that Burrow is healthy, I mean, he's really taken the Bengals to where they were back in like the late 80s when they were good.
Yeah, with the Blake and Pickens combo. We got the new Blake and Pickens.
Or Boomer, back in the Boomer days.
You can't forget Boomer. Can't go wrong with Boomer.
Can't forget Boomer.
Of course, things were going great until the last minute and a half of Super Bowl 23.
Well, you know.
We don't want to think about that.
Tough.
Okay. I get it. I get the point. You're Bengals fans.
No, that definitely is not the case.
Oh, you may it sound like you were.
No. Just I'm looking out for the Bengals fans. We don't want to bring up bad memories.
Oh, of course, you're right. But I saw that, like, you know, Montana with the touchdown. Oh yes.
Yeah. All right, Lou. Always fun with you. Keep Keep your head up. The Jets will get better. They just got to get some help. That's all.
Is that before I die or after?
That I can't promise you, but eventually
I thought not.
They'll get some help.
Well,
thanks,
is my hair going to turn gray before then? Maybe. All right. Maybe I'll be back next week. We'll see.
All right. That is the always excitable Lou in Jersey. Yeah, that's that Jets thing. Oof. I'm trying to give him a silver lining that, you know, you got to say that there's some improvement when your quarterback comes off of throwing four picks in the game and he doesn't keep doing that. At least he doesn't do that every time out. So maybe there's there's a learning process going on there. It's really slow.
Yeah, well, we didn't have a recap show last week, but yeah, I mean, they went to London and, and the Falcons put it on them.
Yeah. That was a surprise.
Yeah. But hey, look at the bright side. They didn't lose last week.
There you go.
And
he didn't
Zach
throw
Wilson
four picks
threw
last
no
week.
Interceptions last week. That's something to build off of.
Uh-huh. What else did
it
you
was
want
a well-timed
to get
call that got you off your new Bears ownership discussion.
Yeah. I said all I was going to say about that.
Okay. But yeah, I don't think Rodgers is washed. Obviously, he's not putting up gaudy numbers. But with the if your defense is top 10, you have a decent running game. You have that really good two-headed running attack with Jones and Dillon. Rodgers is at that point. Maybe you don't need him to throw for 400 yards every game right now.
And I'm not so sure he could. I mean, he's got, you know, the best receiver in the game right now in Davante Adams, but he doesn't have too many guys that he really trusts outside of that. So I think that's another part of it as well, is they need to build more.
Yeah, and they keep going and signing defensive guys. They signed They signed Ramsey from the Cowboys, who's like the Devin Hester of linebackers. Like, you have to hold his hand and show him where to be on the field. Otherwise, he's just in the wrong spot. And then they signed Whitney Mercilus this week.
You're talking about Jalen Smith. Yeah. Jalen Smith.
Yeah. I was thinking of Jalen Ramsey for some reason.
Jalen Smith.
Yeah. He's a little bit of a space cadet out there.
Yeah. Cowboys fan at work asked me a couple of weeks ago when the Cowboys cut him, they're like, why'd the Cowboys cut Jalen Smith? I said, because he's not very good.
Yeah, he's full of talent. He's got all the athleticism, just not good at football.
Yeah, there's talent, but then there's being good at the sport, and that's you need a little more than talent.
He's got the low AWR rating in Madden.
Extremely low, 30s.
Yeah.
But the Packers will take a chance.
You want to field a good team in Madden. Get lots of secondary players with high awareness.
Oh, believe me, I can vouch for that.
You don't need a ton of speed. You just need that AWR, be in the right place, and that's not Jalen Smith.
No, my Madden 03 Bears gave up so many yards and so many points. It was just a terrible, terrible defense. But I kept winning games because late in the games I would get the perfect key timely interceptions from the cornerbacks that I traded for, which would be, if I remember, Bobby Taylor and Rondé Barber. Very high AWR with both of them. Can't beat it.
So, so that was Bears-Packers. Not a lot actually happening in that game. The Bears drove right down. They get that first touchdown, and good night, everybody.
Look, they were within three of the Packers in the fourth quarter. They were right there. They had a chance.
They got that touchdown, Rodgers had enough.
Yeah, Rodgers did his thing.
And he just marched them right down the field and then declared ownership of the Bears.
Yeah, man, Justin Fields did his thing, and that was the end of that. Although I was encouraged by Fields overall, he showed some flash. All these rookie quarterbacks – show some flashes here and there. They all show, you know, why they were taken in the first round. With all five of them, I've seen something at some point, even though some of them have been really you know, overall not very good. But even in Trevor Lawrence, even in Trey Lance, I've seen something, even in Zach Wilson, where I go, oh, okay, I see it. I see why he got picked in the first round. I, you know, Justin Fields, I see it. I see the athleticism. I see the he's actually got a good arm. He doesn't know where it's going some of the time yet, but he's actually got a pretty good arm. But he definitely looked like a rookie when everything was on the line. And yeah, Rodgers still owns the Bears, and that's all I got to say about that.
So yeah, that was good. You know, you're starting to get late enough now. You know, we're what, week 7. We're starting to get to real or fake time almost.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know some of my fakes already. I've been talking about them.
Now you're starting to see on the other side. You're starting to see some separation from some teams, the Ravens, the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. You know, you're starting to see some teams start, like, they're really asserting themselves. Yeah, and that Ravens win over the Chargers was that was a beatdown.
Yeah, that wasn't close. I think a lot of people were surprised by, you know, just how much of a blowout that was. And
yeah.
I got to admit, I was surprised too. But then I heard a stat, and it kind of crystallized everything. Ravens pressured Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert had 42 dropbacks. Ravens pressured him 33 of the 42 dropbacks.
Yeah. That's what you do when you're at home. When you're a front-running team and you're at home,
you get the tee off.
That's right.
You get the lead and you say, boys, go get them.
You get out to that, you know, basically 17-0 lead, and you know, we've said no team front runs more or better than the Ravens, right?
And we also,
I mean, they historically can't come back on people, but nobody looks better with a lead than they do, because they can just hold you down.
But they're even coming back this year. Lamar Jackson's the master of the comeback all of a sudden. Like,
well,
that's kind of
twice.
Yeah, that's more than I ever thought he would do.
Yeah, twice he's come back from double digits, which he had never done until this season. And now he's done it twice. Both times they've been down big and won. So the Chiefs, although they won, smell kind of fake to me.
I don't know what to make of them. They're so
they can't hold on to the football. Patrick Mahomes is throwing picks. They have no confidence on their defense.
Bad picks.
Worse than I can remember that Kansas City defense being. And I don't know if that's just the pressure that Mahomes feels to try to, you know, we have to outscore everybody. But, yeah, they blow out Washington, but they didn't look good doing it.
Right. You're calling them fake. They just won 31-13. And
I'm telling you, that was 17-13 at the end of the third quarter. And then they got a couple. Because, I did not expect Washington to be able to hang point for point, you know, with them. But the fact that Washington was in that game into the fourth quarter kind of shows you that just tells you that the Chiefs are, they, you know, they're really good, you know, on paper compared to Washington. And they, Patrick Mahomes, how many times, was it 9 interceptions already for him?
Crazy.
I mean, I
had 6 all of last year, the year before, something like that.
8.
9 is already up to, yeah.
8.
He's already up to 9.
Yeah,
and yeah, it was a clunker in the first half from what I was reading, and put the Potato Skins in position to get the upset, but the Chiefs crank it up in the second half like they can do. Randy Mahomes, the mother of Patrick,
like
also like a word with the rules committee.
I said it looked like a doppelganger of the game they played with Philly, and it was.
And it was.
It was the same game. Sloppy, pull away late.
Yeah. Did you see that Pat Mahomes' mother was like a word with the rules committee? tweeting out after that interception off the hands of the receiver right into the DB. And she's like,
that should be an interception on the wide receiver.
Yeah. She's going to be in the room.
I played quarterback after school for our whole time in high school.
You had a lot of balls pop off of a receiver's hand.
I had a lot of balls bouncing off of chests and hands. And like, come on, what else could I do? It was on your chest.
We didn't have anyone on the side keeping stats and giving you your INTs, though. So only you knew.
I knew, and that was enough.
Yeah, that's a real quarterback for you, folks. 30 years later, still remembering balls bouncing off the guy's hands.
Oh, don't worry. I can still remember who did it and what the plays were. I mean, not naming names here, but, you know, it wasn't.
You sound like you're ready to. You're ready to name some names. You like Jay-Z ready to drop a diss track. You got some fire you want to spit over there.
I hope they don't find my emails. I hope the NFL doesn't find my emails.
Oh, watch out.
Me and Bruce Allen?
Yeah. Have you been talking to Bruce Allen lately? Have you been chatting with him?
Well, Adam Schefter didn't give me permission to.
Oh. No, only if he lets you pre-approve it beforehand can you comment on his storytelling. We got some issues in the NFL on and off the field, of course.
This is part of the reason why we love it, right? We wouldn't have a Hall of Infamy if it wasn't for this stuff.
No kidding, man, and. It's so crazy that so much of that stuff can't even be gotten into and talked about fully. Like, this should be the type of stuff that, you know, the ESPN's got, you know, 2-hour freaking pregame on Sunday. NFL Network's got pregame all the way starting in the morning. This is the type of stuff that could fill those hours instead of them hemming and hawing and pawing around and trying to figure out how they're going to fill the time. They got stuff they can fill the time. They just can't tell it because it's too true.
Yeah, no, we love it. We love it. We hate it. Sometimes we love it. Sometimes we hate watch. You know, but it's compelling. It's generally it's the most compelling sport.
All right, one of the other so that was a loss to you, the Chiefs over the Potato Skins. Even though the Chiefs did not look very impressive in their 31-13 win, another one of my losses to you was. I got to get the name right. Spencer Whipple, which sounds like a perfect wimpy 80s wrestling manager name. Spencer Whipple leads the Arizona Cardinals to a pummeling of the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah.
All the,
I forgot.
All the coaches with the goop. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't need their coaches. They didn't need Cliff Kingsbury. They didn't need those guys.
They didn't need
it turned out.
Quarterback coach. Nope.
Yeah, they bounce Baker. Baker Mayfield goes, you know, bouncing off the turf, busts up his shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, I heard it's a labrum and a small break, it sounds like now. That they're saying he's going to have off-season surgery. And it wasn't the most compelling game offensively for the Cardinals. I mean, probably their least impressive offensive performance. And they scored 37 points.
Right. Well, similar to the Ravens, as you were saying, when you front run, when you script it so beautifully, you don't need any damn coaches after that. When you script it up like that and just, you know, first whatever 6-7 possessions, you score points. You don't have to worry about the second half adjustments.
Yeah. When you're up 20 to zip and you can pin the ears back, it gets easier.
Yeah. That doesn't help that the Browns lost all of their skill players. You're talking about Baker, they have receivers go down. They had all their running backs go down. Poor Kareem Hunt screwed up his calf. My fantasy team got screwed up everything. No one cares about my fantasy team, I know. But, yeah, I was very shocked by that outcome. I thought Cleveland would at least contend and give them a game, but no. Cardinals just blew their doors off. Didn't need any coaches, didn't need any of that. 6-0 Arizona was definitely not something that I didn't see it coming. I don't know if anyone saw it coming. The question is, you know, how long is it going to last? Who's going to take them down? And what's ultimately what's going to be the outcome of this season? Because every undefeated team, I think right back to the Steelers last year, every undefeated team eventually gets their first loss and then the league catches up, figures out, okay, how do we take them down? They're going to get everyone's best shot from here on out because they're not surprising anybody. They're not, you know, the Cardinals aren't sneaking up on anybody the rest of the year. And ultimately what's going to happen when they make it to the playoffs and all of their top strategies and top, you know, top players, everything has been out there for everybody to dissect and try to figure out. They're aiming to be the team that's, you know, has the target on their back when the playoffs are them and the Cowboys, basically. And the Rams, and the fact that they're going to be right up there with them, you know, how's it all going to shake out? And of course, Tampa Bay, and Tommy is just kind of hanging back and waiting and lurking in the wings like, yeah, okay, good job out of you guys. Okay,
wait, good on you.
Uh-huh. Wait till the playoffs get here.
You think about this year's undefeated and last year's, right, Arizona and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh last year was undefeated, but every week you were going, yeah, but,
yeah,
you know,
I don't know,
because that game they won wasn't very impressive. Arizona has only had one of those. They really only had that game against the Vikings that they just should have straight up lost, right? The guy missed the guy missed an old extra point, basically. You know, when you miss a 21, 24-yard, just short field goal like that, and the team wins, you don't walk out of that one like, yeah, we crushed it. You know, so even if Arizona was still 5-1, they've been impressive. And a lot of their wins aren't cheap. You look up and down. We're not sitting here going, well, yeah, they won, but yeah, it wasn't. They don't look too good to me. They've been impressive. Have they played a lot of top tier talent yet? No, not really. But you can only play the games in front of you, right?
Yeah, that's what I always say. You can only beat who's up there.
And they're not going out there playing some also rans, and you know, having to pull off massive comebacks. A lot of these games, they're up early and they're letting that defense get after the quarterback, and, you know, and Chandler Jones, I mean, he's just wrecking people right now too.
Mm-hmm. Defensive pressure, a big part of a lot of these teams' success early on, is so key. And yet it's almost, I feel like, overlooked because everyone's trying to go offense, offense, offense. I got to get the quarterback. I got to get the high-flying offense. I got to get offense. And you forget about if you just get some guys that can rush the offense and rush the passer, you can make everything else better on your team, because you don't have to have a great secondary. If you have pressure, you can just have average secondary. You don't have to have great linebackers if you can get guys to get pressure. It's so important, and I don't know why so many teams feel like they – kind of overlook it or don't really think they need it. You know, ask John Gruden, wherever he's hiding right now, he would like a guy like Khalil Mack to get some pressure for his team. He could really use someone like that.
Yeah, I heard those guys are
so hard
to find.
Yeah,
well, man,
exactly,
we've been
right.
doing this too long.
Yeah, yes, we have. One of the wins I got over you, you mentioned already briefly about the Vikings-Cardinals debacle.
Oh,
and
man.
You also mentioned about real or fake coming up. So that ties into what I saw. Whatever the NFC game I was watching, it ended, and then I got to see Minnesota-Carolina bonus action as that game was winding down. So I actually got to see the whole end of this. So I can't speak to the first three quarters of Vikings-Panthers, but here's what I saw at the end of that game at the end of the fourth. A tired Vikings defense let Sam Darnold and the Panthers make a desperate drive for a touchdown and a two to tie it up. And the Carolina defense that everyone's been telling me is so damn great at all, the Panthers D, they're number one, they're number two, they're this, they're that. Panthers
still
defense.
Still number three.
Still number three. If they were
still
really that
three.
Great, if they were really that great, they then go after Carolina ties it after Sam Darnold ties it. They would then go and hold Kirk Cousins down to force overtime. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. They let Kirk throw and run and getting in the field goal range. They had the win lined up and more field kicker shenanigans, more bad field goal kicking Greg Joseph wide right. So they get overtime anyway, not because the Panthers defense stopped the Vikings, but because the kicker screwed up the field goal. So then Minnesota goes to overtime. And this great Panthers defense allows the Vikings to march right down the field on them anyway, and they get the touchdown to win the game. Fraudulent. The Panthers defense is fraudulent. 571 yards of offense out of the Minnesota Vikings. Dalvin Cook, I don't think, was even part of the proceedings. I think he was hurt. That's the Vikings. That's not the Chiefs or Tommy and the Buccaneers. That's the Minnesota Vikings that carves you up for 571, and you had them. The Panthers had them. If the defense just makes a stand somewhere in the fourth quarter, and then they get another chance in overtime, and they let them march right down the field on them. I'm sorry. I'm calling fake on the Panthers. We're not even doing real or fake, but I'm telling you, that is a fraudulent-ass defense. They are not nearly as good as people think they are.
No, and, you know, go to the other side. I think the Vikings are better than people are giving them credit for. They had some tough losses early, right? They had those two back-to-back, they had that Cincinnati game and then that Arizona game that they lost both, like one in overtime, one late. I mean, they had some really tough early losses. You know, they had a really ugly game against Cleveland. Kirk Cousins is playing out of his mind right now, and I don't think anybody's talking about it.
He's been very, very good. He's been
like, this is very
better than most
Kirk
people
Cousins
think.
Like.
It is.
you kind of you always are waiting for, you know, the Kirk Cousins moment. You're waiting, and no, he goes for 373 with three touchdowns, no picks, but 13 touchdowns and two picks on the season so far. You know, it's like him and Mahomes slipped stats.
They swapped bodies. It's Freaky
Friday. If you did the blind thing, you know, where you look at the two numbers, but you don't know who the quarterback is, and you said one of these is Kirk Cousins and the other one is Patrick Mahomes, you wouldn't be picking this one as Kirk Cousins right now. And he's playing. You know what? We've made fun of him enough that we've earned some credit to give him some praise when he's earned it. And he's playing really well. And they're doing this. Dalvin Cook, they get Dalvin Cook back in this game. And he goes crazy. He goes for a $140.
Okay, he did come back for that one. Okay.
Oh yeah,
he's been in and out.
If I knew he was gonna be that upright, I probably would have picked the Vikings. But you just don't know, right?
You never know, right? Exactly.
The running back coming back off injury, he could play the first series and then, you know, it's ghost town for the rest of the game. Right.
I'm out. I can't go anymore.
Right. You don't really know with these guys. That's why. Thursday night game, I was glad I knew everybody who was out before I made the pick, and I still picked Cleveland.
The second stringers.
Yeah.
The Cleveland backups.
Ernest Johnson and Case Keenum. And again, I posted this on that pick when I picked the game. That it isn't a huge drop-off from Baker Mayfield to Case Keenum.
Well, especially if it's a fucked-up Baker Mayfield with a jacked-up shoulder all year.
Well,
I mean... Maybe that's been affecting him. Maybe that's why he has been even less effective than he normally is.
It's possible, but you figure no Hunt, no Chubb. But I'm like, you know what? Cleveland's got good defense. They have a good O-line. So it's not that Chubb and Hunt are just back there, you know, evading tacklers in the backfield and creating. They're not doing the Barry Sanders thing. So the best thing that could have happened for them winning that game Thursday night was that they got the ball and just marched right down the field and got that early lead.
Yeah, everything they did was working. I texted you. I was frustrated.
You weren't very happy about it.
No, I was shaking my head. I was just like, God damn, everything they try to do is going their way. And the Broncos' defense, like, melted before your eyes. Like, you could see how tired they were getting. You could see, especially the last drive, the last to put them away. They needed a first down to put it away because Denver was out of timeouts. And they got Johnson had gotten a first down run. He got caught back by penalty. And they decided to, on 3rd and 11 or something, to run it again. And he got it again. And it's like, okay, well, you're going to just let them get first downs no matter what, you know, no matter how far you back them up, you're just going to still let them run and get the first down. I guess you don't deserve to win the game or cover the spread or anything like that. So, yeah, it was not the Broncos' night. It was definitely the Browns' second stringers' night, and that's what I get for making fun of Case Keenum and Dearness Johnson.
Dearness Johnson goes 22 for a $146.
No one saw that one coming, I promise you.
Nobody saw 6.6 yards per rush, I think, coming. I mean, if that's what you're getting every carry, why even throw the ball? Isn't that the point with the Browns?
That's the other hidden lesson learned in that Thursday nighter is, as great as Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are, give some love to that offensive line, because apparently that's what's driving everything, is they can make anybody into a 140-yard ball carrier, that's what you want. You want an O-line that's going to just run down everybody and open huge holes for you no matter who you are. So good for the Browns and good for whoever's running behind them, no matter what.
And you know what?
Is.
good for me because I finally won a Thursday night pick over you.
Got off
so,
the schneid.
Oh my God. Things are turning. You know, you just look for these little glimmers, right? It's so nice to start the week up a game, not down a game.
Yeah, your Thursday night luck had been even the shittiest of them all. And your Thursday night, well, you got the opener, the season opener.
And I don't know if I won another one after that.
No, from there, I think it was week three we both had the Panthers. So, but other than that, it was me defeating you in every other week after week one, until finally a couple nights ago.
Yeah, so. And of course, in true me fashion, it's the totally illogical pick that comes through for me.
It's the just because, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait, Cleveland doesn't have their starting quarterback, both their starting running backs, you know, the wide receivers are banged up. Yeah, they're going to win.
Yeah, sure. Why not? So what else in week six stood out to you?
Look here. Of course, Jacksonville won, so we don't need to talk a lot about that. That one was easy. Man, Miami's junk.
You know what? I do want to talk a little bit about it because it was football. I was, you know, again, away last Sunday, you know, week five, I wasn't available to watch any football. So I was just so happy this past Sunday to watch some football. I watched the whole damn game. I didn't, you know, sit there and take extensive notes because it was the Dolphins and the Jaguars. But I did watch the whole damn game. So the Dolphins and the Jaguars from London, yeah, they both stink. Okay, absolutely. And Miami actually looked like much the better team for three quarters of the game and still managed to lose.
Yeah, they're bad.
Long field goals got it done by Matthew Wright for the Jaguars. So I'll say this, at least Trevor Lawrence doesn't look totally overwhelmed anymore. I said the little bit of impression I got of him was that the game was way, way too fast for him when he first when he opened the season. All these rookie quarterbacks, there's a glimmer there. There's something like, okay, I see it. I see why he got picked that high. So I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence has arrived and everything is turning around, but he did not look completely like, oh, my God, everything is just happening so fast for me. So that's good for him. Brian Flores got out-coached by Urban Meyer. Son?
Oh.
I don't think you're long for this job. I'm just saying. You got out-coached by Urban Meyer.
Man. So the grinder.
The first win. Uh-huh. The knee biters.
You want to talk about not locking up a game, then you regret not locking up.
Yeah.
I mean, I pretty much mailed it in for the Lions after saying, how do you come back after making your coach cry?
Right.
And at home. And you let Cincinnati come in there and do that to you, and Joe Burrow again, just lighten it up. I mean, Joe Burrow has been really good. I mean, it's just, you know, his second season now, and he's
1.5 seasons because last year he, you know, missed the whole second.
Yeah,
half of the year.
He played. So he has now played 16 full games, right?
Yep.
And his quarterback rating 95.3, 4,228 yards in those 16 games. 7.3 yards per attempt, although he's at 8.9 so far this season, but that's a lot of Ja'Marr Chase. You know, that's a lot of bombs to Ja'Marr Chase, but, you know, 27 touchdowns, 12 picks. That's basically his first full rookie season right now. He just finished his rookie season. And that's not bad.
No, what I'll say again is it reminds me of my whole Sam Bradford hate all those years is if you're the number one overall pick, show me something to justify that you were a number one overall pick. That's all I'm asking.
Joe
Burrow is showing you why he was a number one overall pick. Sam Bradford in his 71-year career never once showed me why he deserved to be a number one overall.
Sam Bradford was the same guy every year. He wasn't a number one pick. He was like a third round pick every year. He was, you know, he wasn't good. He was just a guy.
Serviceable.
Yeah. He was a middle tier NFL quarterback. There's no shame in that. It's not his fault he was the number, right? It's not his fault he got all the money. You can't blame him.
He's not going to give it back, and nor should he.
No, but yeah, I know that's your boy. You love Sam Bradford.
That it's just every you
are still crapping on him to this day.
Every number one pick just reminds me of that. That's what it's supposed to look like, not what Bradford was doing.
This year two for Joe Burrow looks like this is why I was trying to give Lou some hope. Like this is what you want. This is what you want to see. You know, because Burrow was all right. You know, he had moments last year. You can clearly see he was a rookie. He was a little overmatched. His team wasn't very good. His stats weren't bad. But now he's in his second season. He's got more weapons. They get him the receiver. They bolster offensive line. And, oh yeah, this is what it should look like. It looks better.
Oh, that's what every organization should do is get the quarterback and then put the tools around him to see if the Jets can pull that off.
And they may be the surprise team, you know, through 6 weeks.
But,
you know,
longest
for the good
season
side.
Ever.
But there's on the good side, because there are some surprise teams on the negative side, right? And
we talked about the Potato Skins earlier, yes.
We talked about them. That defense is really what's letting them down. But of course, the Steelers let Geno Smith hang around and then strip sack him in overtime, because that's just what happens. So, God, Geno Smith.
That's Geno Smith in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen.
That was
a weird game that Sunday night. It was the Seahawks' dedication to running behind Alex Collins versus the Steelers' dedication to throwing to Deontay Johnson. Who's going to come out on top? Because neither one of those teams wanted to do anything different than that. Seattle didn't want to do anything but run, and Big Ben didn't want to do anything but just target Deontay Johnson. It goes to overtime. And, yeah, Geno trying to be Russ, basically, trying to be Russ Wilson, trying to run and get downfield and avoid the pressure. Yeah. And T.J. Watt says, get back here. Let me knock that ball away and take this W and get the field goal and get out of here. And, that was the second week in a row. Geno Smith basically had a chance to be the hero, and, oh, God, Geno Smith.
But if you're Pittsburgh, it's the Mike Tomlin special, right?
Let a team hang around it.
You
maybe shouldn't be hanging around?
You let Geno Smith hang around. You let Alex Collins run for 100 yards.
And we got smacked for it.
I have no idea who Alex Collins is.
I don't
either. Phil Collins, for all I know.
Is he playing in the air tonight?
That's right.
And we both got caught. Did I not play the Elvis for that?
And the sad part was, after we made the pick, we called it. That's shame on us.
Yeah, I didn't put Elvis on the sheet when I put the picks up, but I did play the. I do remember playing the music that we knew we were caught in the trap, and we still made the pick anyway. Yeah. So.
That we went with the Steelers. We went with Mike Tomlin to cover against a really bad the team. You should just roll up if you're any good. You should have just sent them packing very quickly and dispatched them. And they were trying too early. I mean, you know, they got midway through the third quarter. They had a 10-point lead and then just stopped playing football.
Yeah, pretty much. I briefly mentioned the Cowboys earlier. They gave the Patriots many chances there, but because, again, Bill Belichick just doesn't have the horses on either side of the ball. He just can't, you can see him trying to coach it out of these guys and trying to coach him, but he's just, you can't do it. If you don't have the guys, you don't have the guys. So that one goes to overtime as well, but because of a missed field goal.
And on the positive side, this also goes to help because we don't like talking about the NFC East. Well, that's good because it's over.
It's all over.
I mean, do you see anybody jumping up and running down Dallas with that 3-game lead? Now, that's not barring disaster or maybe like that goes down. I mean, I'm just saying we're through 6 games now for all of those teams. None of those teams are as good as Dallas.
No, obviously, barring injury, there's nobody as good. I think I knew that anyway before the season. Like, talent-wise, the Cowboys have the best team in that division and usually do, but because they're the Cowboys, they find a way to mess it up.
Yeah, it's Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn. I mean, but is this a testament to them, or I think this is more of a testament to just how bad the rest of that division is right now?
There's a little bit of competition, but I want to give the Cowboys their credit. Zeke is running wild, doing what he's supposed to do. Dak is playing his ass off, coming back from injury. And you keep making fun of Dan Quinn. He's got that defense making plays.
He's a great defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He's a great defensive coordinator.
Every INT, and they're making it happen.
That was clearly his forte. I mean, he's just not head coach material. Problem is you get this, you're a head coach and you have a bad situation, you leave in disgrace, you blow all the leads, you go back to being a coordinator, and then you wow everybody, and then you go on the rehabilitation tour. Somebody, some bad team, some idiot is going to give Dan Quinn another head coaching job. It's going to happen.
And he won't necessarily have he might deserve it, is what I was trying to say. It won't be where it's a charity case or someone got fooled. He might do a good enough job defensively and rehabilitate to deserve a second shot. And whether he might fail at that too, but I don't think he's doing anything to make it go well. He should never get a second chance. I think he's probably going to deserve a second chance by the time he gets one. What I'm
wash that stink off.
I'm wondering where Eric Bieniemy's first chance is all I'm trying to say. Some of these guys that don't even get one chance, and before we get other guys second chances. All right, so we've got week seven
But he gets interviewed for every job. He's a professional interviewer now.
Some guys get interviewed for a lot of jobs and never get them. And
he's
That. Yes, there's a common denominator through those, and that's exactly what that's all about. All right, so week seven coming up. It's a bit of an abbreviated schedule. We got six teams on bye, and then it's also abbreviated by the fact that there's some blowout games on the schedule that we're going to dedicate very little time to.
Three massive. Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting, too, because we have to talk about next week, because there's a chance you might be going solo next week.
Uh-oh.
It's our whole schedule for next week, pretty much Thursday through Sunday, is full. And that's just, I'm just looking at it like I don't know where I'm going to squeeze in a pick.
Okay, well, we'll get to all of that.
You might have to call Lou Bryce. You should get Lou and Bryce. you could have, too bad the Jets aren't playing the Steelers. You could have them duke it out on the air. Although we haven't heard Bryce.
Bryce might be DOA.
He likes to call in when they're good. He kind of goes dark when they're not so good.
Yeah, they're only 500 right now. Wait till they get four or five games over. So we'll get to our week seven picks after I tell you all about the wonderful ways you can listen to this podcast. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre when I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason is on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast, about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and look through our archives, or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me and is solely performed for our entertainment, as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. Week 7 in the NFL, a little light on action and a little light on real good games. Yeah, they can't all be winners, but it's the NFL, and we'll still watch and we'll still love it anyway. And I want you to remind me if we get to the after show and I have time. I'm a little out of breath because I got up and got something to drink, but my knee is killing me, so I had to really hustle and try to get back here on time. But I had I know one of your favorite topics, about a story about cancel culture and how it can work both ways. I think it's an interesting little story. It won't take very long, but I might forget if we get to that. But, yeah, we got the rest of week 7 to pick, so ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready.
All right.
Yeah, week 6, I'm done with week 6. I'm not here to talk about the past.
That's right. Hey, 8-6, you should be happy about week 6. Is this one of your better weeks?
No, 1-0.
1-0 in week 7, I got you. All right, let's see if we can start busting some L's for you in week 7 after your one win. The Washington Potato Skins and the Green Bay Packers up there in your neck of the woods at Lambeau Field. Washington 2-4, Green Bay 5-1. And the Washington football team and your buddy the beer man, Tyler Heineken, they're 8-point underdogs at Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. The Packers don't own Washington. They own Chicago.
Yeah, that's right. They don't. If Washington's defense was better, I think I'd be more apt to pick them. This feels like the kind of spot where they could go in there and get that defense if they had last year's defense. This year's defense, especially on the back end, is so bad. They're not getting a hold. They're not getting a ton of pressure, and you can just throw all over this team. So if we're worried, if we want to see if Aaron Rodgers still has anything left in the tank, he should absolutely shred this Washington secondary. And then the Packers defense, which I believe is ranked 6th right now in the NFL, very quietly, has been playing really well. I don't know if they started shooting up the rankings. I don't want to say that there's a coincidence here, but when Kevin King got hurt, they started shooting up in the defensive rankings. It's amazing that Stokes is at that cornerback position. He's pretty much their cornerback 1 right now, with Jair Alexander having been banged up. I don't think Washington has enough offensive firepower. I think the Packers' defense has been quietly very good. I think Rodgers torches that pretty awful Washington secondary. I'll take the Packers, give the points.
Yeah, you talked about adding Jalen Smith, you know, taking a chance on a guy that got released by the Cowboys, plenty of talent. And I don't know if they're going to be able to use Whitney Mercilus tomorrow, but they picked him up after the Houston Texans cut him.
Yeah.
I like those moves, you know, just add talented guys to the mix and see what happens. You know, what can go wrong? You know, if they don't work out, you throw them back on the street. So I don't have any problem with any of those. You know, anytime the Washington defense wants to start the season, that'd be fine with me, because they haven't started playing yet, as far as I'm concerned. DFL in passing right now, going against Aaron Rodgers, but I guess I'm looking at the Packers not being quite as impressive. I talked about that during their talking about their Bears win, is that they were, you know, the Bears were hanging around. They were there in the fourth quarter. And Green Bay, you know, 17th, tied for 17th in rushing yards per game, tied, you know, only 21st in passing yards per game. Maybe they get it better as the season goes on, but right now they're just kind of meh. I mean, they did what they had to do to win, but I don't know if they're, you know, quite as much world beaters as people think they are. It's the Packers, so if they're good, people are going to think they're, you know, they should be favored by a touchdown plus, you know, no matter who they play at home. So I guess I understand that, but yeah, they're not, that offense isn't clicking quite fully. I can see Washington losing that game by a touchdown, so I'm actually going to take the 8 points. I'm going to give Washington one more chance to try to be competitive and show me something. So see how that works
out
for me.
I like that. You took them last week too.
Yeah, didn't quite work. All right, Atlanta and Miami, one of those games that, you know, it's we pick them all. The 2-3 Falcons visiting the 1-5 dumpster fire Dolphins, and boy, they are. Did they win their opener? And they're 0-5 since. Is that, am I right?
That sounds right.
Yeah, they beat New England. They went to New England in the opener and won by 1 point, and they have not won since.
And think about where we were at that point when we were thinking about the Dolphins coming off of that good but not great season last year, right?
Yep.
And where they are now.
Oof.
Home dogs against the Falcons. Oh, my God.
Again, Brian Flores, you got outcoached by Urban Meyer. And, yes, they are indeed home dogs. Whatever you think of the Atlanta Falcons, they are favored by 1.5 at Miami.
Well, I'll tell you whatever you think about Atlanta. Atlanta hasn't played a football game in 2 weeks. So they're rested. And Miami is one of the few teams that has to play in London and then come back and play again.
Did they choose to do that? Why would you do that?
I don't know. Atlanta played that London game against the Jets. Then they got the bye week. They're back. They're right. Mostly healthy. Miami goes to England. Tua plays maybe one of the best games he's played as a quarterback since he came into the league, and they still lose the game. If you expect him to do that 2 weeks in a row, you're crazy. I'll take the Falcons, give the points.
Mostly healthy, but unfortunately, they're probably their best defender, Dante Fowler, for the Falcons, went on IR with a knee injury, so that's a loss there. But Miami, of course, is dealing with all their assorted injuries. Three cornerbacks are banged up. Their top three corners are all messed up, and I don't know if they're going to play. And again, why are the Dolphins playing after they were in London just last week? I do not understand the point of that. I don't know if they chose to do that or not. Deshaun Watson's peeps keep pushing this idea, this rumor of him getting dealt to Miami. We talked about this all offseason. Miami is really stupid. I don't think they're quite that stupid. I don't think I think this is just, it's either Deshaun Watson's people or the Texans that keep putting this out there that, it's about to happen. It's imminent. There was like one day this past week where the report was that it was imminent, and then the next day Dolphins have no interest in Deshaun Watson. Like, okay,
Tua's our guy. I don't know, but Brian Flores keeps having to give votes of confidence to Tua. That's not a good look either.
No, it's not. I don't know if they really have any confidence in Tua at this point. I don't know how you could, but I really don't think they're interested. I think Deshaun Watson is interested in going to Miami for different reasons. I think there's plenty of good massage parlors down there, but I don't think Miami is interested in bringing him in. But you never know. You don't like Miami coming off the trip to New England and Atlanta coming in on a bye week on a rest. I don't like Miami getting juiced by Trevor Lawrence. And then now they get Matty Ice, which should be an even worse situation. I know it's not the same Matty Ice, but it's still a much better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. You really don't like the Dolphins in this spot, and I like them even less than you do. I can't believe I'm doing this with the Atlanta Falcons. But I'm locking up the Falcons.
You know what? You're playing with house money right now on these locks. So
I'm up 5-1. I can do whatever I want, right?
Enjoy it.
If I lose the four, then it's on me. But I'm doing it. I'm locking in the Falcons. That's definitely not a pick on the Falcons or that I have all this Atlanta love. That's definitely going against what might be the worst trending team in football right now.
It might be the stupidest team in football.
Might be just the worst. I mean, I know
the
Lions are winless.
Have that, we always have that team every year. We don't give an award out for it, but throughout the year, usually we kind of figure out, we know who the FedEx team is and who the stupidest team is, and it's usually the Cowboys and the Lions fighting for that stupidest team in football tag. I think Miami is starting to get there. I don't know how that organization's being run and how they fell off the cliff so fast and hard.
Mismanagement and probably some injuries sprinkled in as well. But, yeah, it's bad. It's real bad. All right, on to one of only two divisional games all week, Jets-Patriots. We talked about this, of course, with Lou in Jersey. The 1-4 Jets and the 2-4 Patriots. Yuck. This is already a divisional rematch because in week two, as we talked about, Zach Wilson, 4 INTs and 0 touchdowns. as the homestanding Jets lost to the Patriots 25-6. And I'm going on a limb and say that Zach Wilson will not throw four interceptions in this game tomorrow. I think he has improved that much that I have full confidence in saying that he's not going to do that again. He might not do much better, but he's not going to do that. And the Jets are off the bye as well. As you talked about the Falcons-Jets game in London a couple weeks ago, and they both got the bye last week. So Jets coming in technically fresher, still underdogs, 7-point dogs at the Patriots.
I'd love to take the Jets here, but I can't. I have no reason to. Who do they have? they still have nobody. And the only rookie quarterback other than General Mills, you know, who's the only one who's been able to seemingly solve the Bill Belichick against a rookie thing in a game they still lost, by the way, Houston did. So they didn't solve it all the way. So I figure even if the Jets can just split the difference from their last game, they're still going to lose by about 10. So I'll give the points. And, oh, God, we pick them all. This is a bad game.
Yeah, we do. I don't have any other thing to add insight-wise. New England already ripped the Jets. Did New York learn anything from that? Is Mac Jones learning? He is actually learning to go deeper, go deep in with his passes. He was so reined in those first few games where he was basically just check down Charlie, as we talked about, and, you know, completing, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 passes in a row, and none of them were in the end zone. So I was like, okay, well, wake me when he actually throws some touchdowns. He's going deeper now, so he's getting he's showing me something. He's, you know, all of them, all those first-round picks are showing me a little something. Mac Jones is showing me a little something, getting a little better. So, yeah, I'm going to have Zach Wilson not throw four INTs, but whatever improvement he's doing, I think Mac Jones is improving on an even better pace. So I will concur with you and give the 7 and take the Patriots. On to, should be the game of the week, Tennessee again at home, game of the week territory. This time they're hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. KC at 3-3, and Lord knows what kind of Chiefs team you're going to get from one week to the next. And Tennessee at 4-2. Tennessee is a home dog again in this spot, but money is definitely going on them because they opened, I believe, around the same 6 that Buffalo was the favorite on Monday night, and now it's down to 4. So Kansas City -4 at Tennessee.
Until Kansas City cleans up the sloppiness that they've had on offense, you can turn the ball over against Washington and survive. You're not going to be able to be sloppy with the football against this Tennessee team, who, by the way, has already turned over opponents 26 times. Takeaways. They've only played 6 games. That's insane. I'm sorry, that's 5. They're 26th ranked. I'm crazy. But
that was a big number.
DFL. I thought that was a big number. The Chiefs, it's late. Chiefs are DFL, turning the ball over. You can't do that. So, yeah. Tennessee, their defense isn't very good. The Chiefs' offense is, but they just make too many sloppy mistakes, which means that puts more pressure on the even worse defense on the field in this game, which is the Chiefs' defense. Can't stop the run, can't stop the throw. And I can't trust the Chiefs if Mahomes is out there throwing 2 picks every game. That is a tall task to overcome if you're playing a quality opponent. It's not working for them against good teams. They're able to overcome this against the Eagles and Washington. You're not going to overcome this against the Chargers and the Titans and the Bills. So I'll take the Titans to win the game.
Yeah, they might get a little defensive help back. They've been definitely missing the pass rush with Chris Jones, some defensive back field help with Charvarius Ward. They might get them back, but it's unclear. They're questionable, so they're trying to work their way back. For the Titans, Taylor Lewan, the left tackle, is not going to play. Those of us that were watching the Monday night game saw him get, you know, body boarded off the field with that nasty-looking concussion where his body just went limp after his head jammed into somebody. Julio's going to try to play. Julio Jones and that hammy has been up and down and in and out of the lineup, but he's going to try to get out there. A.J. Brown did make his return last Monday night and had an impact in the second half. Yeah, I look, I like Tennessee. I've always liked the Titans and the way they play, and you know, probably supported them more than maybe I should being here in their home state. I still look back at that playoff game against the Ravens, and I go, wow, they just had no idea what they wanted to do. They had no chance, and they just they went away from themselves, and I should have seen it coming because that's what the Titans do in those big playoff situations, unfortunately. But regular season, they can put it on anybody. The way they play, they can put a hurting on anyone. They put it on the Bills Monday night. I like the Titans to maul the Kansas City defense much better than the Buffalo Bills defense, which is a sight lot better than the Chiefs. And Pat Mahomes is leading a very volatile offense. And Pat Mahomes himself is playing very volatile, throwing bad interceptions off of one foot and other interceptions off of other guys' hands. Now, KC should badly exploit the Tennessee secondary, but so should have the Buffalo Bills. And that didn't quite work out either. But how can you trust the Chiefs to do so right now, the way they're playing? So I do have a PFF stat that I saw. Actually, not even PFF. It's just a regular stat. 25% pressure rate, 25.5% pressure rate for the Tennessee Titans this year so far, which is not just pretty good, but for them that's excellent because that's been their biggest defensive issue over the years is so many problems trying to find someone to provide pressure and rush the quarterback. Their secondaries have always been average to below average, but as we have seen so many times, you get a pass rush and that hides your secondary, and you can have an average secondary when you get some pressure. So the Titans, you know, they bring in Bud Dupree to get some other guys playing above their heads a little bit, and the Titans are actually putting some pressure on guys. And right now, it looks like that's the way to get to Pat Mahomes. You know, similar to how do you beat Tom Brady, bust him in the fucking mouth. We've only been saying that for, you know, 20 years. The way to get to Pat Mahomes right now is to pressure him into making bad decisions and dumb mistakes, which is not what he did his first couple of years in the league, but he's doing it right now. So I'm with you. I like the Titans to win the game. I'm not locking up Tennessee for a third week in a row. Actually, I already locked up Atlanta, so I couldn't lock
up. Yeah, I was
going
to say, you can't – the way you're talking about this game, I'm like, you know you can't lock two games up.
I cannot lock another team because I've already locked somebody. That's true, but – maybe if we had two locks or something, maybe I would. I don't know, but no, we're not doing
Henry,
the two locks.
I don't think he's had a 200 yet. This might be the first.
Kansas, let me see, 5.2 yards per carry. That's what the Chiefs are giving up so far on the year, and now they get to play Derrick Henry. Yeah, this may be two Bills. There's no doubt. So it should be fun. Cincinnati and Baltimore is the only other divisional matchup this week, and it's interesting because the Bengals are 4-2, and whatever you want to label them, surprise team or whatever, coming up team, bubbling under, against the 5-1 Ravens, who are playing quietly about as good as you can play, because what have we been talking about the Ravens are missing is some consistency downfield passing, and that's what Lamar Jackson is providing so far this year. So they're tough. They are double tough, but the Joe Burrow and the Bengals are tough as well. 4-2 Bengals are 6.5-point dogs going into Baltimore.
So we talk about Joe Burrow, we talk about Jamar Chase, Joe Mixon, we talk all about that Cincinnati offense. That's the 21st ranked offense in football. What nobody is talking about is that Cincinnati's got the 8th ranked defense in all of football. The Bengals, right? You know, top 10 against the run, with 13th against the pass. They're holding teams under 20 points a game. So we're not talking much about the defense. Now, is this real or fake time? Has Cincinnati really played, you know, a lot of quality teams? They've played some okay teams. I mean, you know, they played the NFC North so far. They played the Bears. They played the Vikings. They played the Packers. They hung in or won. Some of those, you know, they played the Packers pretty tough. They lost to the Bears. They barely beat the Vikings. They haven't really had to get into the meat and potatoes of their schedule. And I got to tell you, this has got sunning all over it. This feels like that up and coming team going into Baltimore a team that you can't prepare for this team. You can't prepare for the Lamar Jackson show and then the running game, which is just – they just put guys. It's Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman right now producing, because just the threat of Lamar Jackson running the football opens up so much. And he's actually been – he's been throwing the football so far this year. I don't think Cincinnati is prepared for this situation. I think by virtue of their record, I don't think Baltimore is coming into this game going that these are just the, you know, same old Bengals. No, this is a 4-2 Bengals team that's put a couple, like they put that game against Pittsburgh. They put some things on their resume, I think, that's going to have this one much more on the radar of the Ravens than it would in a normal year. I think the Ravens beat them and cover.
Yeah, we talked about Baltimore. We talked about Miami being winning their first game and going winless since then, 1-5. Baltimore's the anti-Miami. They lost that crazy opener on Monday night to the Raiders in Vegas.
Yeah.
And haven't lost since. They've just been ripping people and doing it in many different ways. They can hit you with the run still. It's not like they've fallen off on running the ball. They're still averaging 4.9 yards per run. It's just that they're also adding the deep ball and averaging 8.7 yards per freaking throw, which I never thought I would see that out of Lamar Jackson. Now it's still, you know, first third of the season. It's still a long way to go. Will they finish anywhere near that high? We'll see. Time will tell. Latavius Murray isn't even playing tomorrow, so get ready for Le'Veon Bell to run for a hundo against Cincinnati.
Doesn't matter.
Full guy. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Guys off the street. You used to run in the league, get ready and get a call because Baltimore might be calling out you. I don't know if Matt Forte is still in shape, but they'll call him and he'll get 100
yards. Warwick Dunn is going to be playing tomorrow.
Yep, whoever. Doesn't matter. I was hearing all week on different podcasts and then reading in several places that the big matchup of this game is going to be Joe Burrow versus the Blitz, because we know Baltimore loves the Blitz. They're always trading off with Pittsburgh 1-2 each year as to which team blitzes the most. But I've been reading and hearing all week, Joe Burrow's number one versus the Blitz. Joe Burrow's number one versus the Blitz. So whoever the Bengals have been beating and running up this 4-2 record against, Joe Burrow apparently has been hanging in there against the blitzes of all these teams. And he's the number one rated passer in football so far this year versus the Blitz. Not all blitzes are created equal. So this is not the normal blitz that he'll be seeing from all these teams. This is the Wink Martindale blitz. This is some serious exotic shit that he's going to be seeing. That's what the Ravens love to do, especially against quarterbacks that don't have a lot of experience. And as much as we've been talking about Burrow, you brought it up, this is only game 17. He's only played one real full season of football. He's still under experience. I won't call him inexperienced, but under experienced quarterback at this stage. So he's going to see some things. I believe Baltimore's going to throw some things at him that he hasn't seen. We know Baltimore will run down Cincinnati's throats. Why would Baltimore not double Ja'Marr Chase when they do blitz? I don't think that – I know I'm not a coach. I've never coached at any level. But I don't think that's too hard of a question to ask. I don't think that's something that doesn't make sense. I think that makes all the sense in the world. You run your blitz packages, but whatever you do behind the blitzes, make sure you got two guys looking out for Ja'Marr Chase and make Joe Burrow beat you with anyone else. And if he does, then you tip your hat. But I agree. I don't think he's going to. I think it's going to be close. I don't think Baltimore's going to just blow their doors off. I don't think it's going to be quite a sunning, but I think it's going to be Baltimore by a touchdown plus, just on the basis of being playing as hot as they are, being as talented as they are, and just they know how to win. You know, John Harbaugh, as I talk about often on the show, is one of my favorite coaches because he knows how to win. He knows how to get his guys prepared. And I think they're going to be prepared for this one to take it to Cincinnati and show them what they're all about. So a sunning in a way, but not, you know, quite as maybe dominant as you think. But I will concur and give the 6.5. Should be good.
It'll be really interesting. I'm just looking back last year because the Ravens have only played Joe Burrow once, because the second time they played last year, Burrow was out. So they played Joe Burrow one time last year. It was a 27-3 Ravens win.
Yeah.
And they sacked Joe Burrow 7 times.
Mm.
So It'll be interesting to see the change from year one to year two in that matchup, because they clearly knew they were playing a rookie quarterback, and they went and got him.
Yeah. Probably one of the games that, you know, put the focus on the Bengals organization to say, okay, we got to get this kid some help, and we got to get him some protection fast, because otherwise he's not going to be here very long. All right, moving on to Panthers-Giants. I don't know how long we're going to spend
catch
on this.
Catch the fever.
The 3-3 Panthers are favored on the road. They are -3 at Danny Dimes and the 1-5 Giants, who will not have Saquon Barkley again.
I'll tell you what, though. I kind of agree with you, which means you're probably going to pick the Panthers, but Panthers are riding that start. And they're getting a lot of mileage out of looking really good for 3 weeks. We're in week 7 now. They haven't looked really good in a month. And I don't trust them as a road favorite. Sam Darnold kind of gets to quote-unquote go home again here, gets to go back to play in New York. It'll be really interesting to see the reception that he gets coming in there. even though this is a Giants crowd, I don't know how much intermixing there is. It's a weird city. It's a very aware city, but Sam Darnold hasn't played very well. He's turned the ball over a lot. Yeah, they had to come back against the Vikings, and the Vikings and Kirk Cousins and that running game and Dalvin Cook just absolutely lit up on the road in Carolina. That #3 Carolina defense. I got a little paper champions going on here with Carolina. I'll take the Giants and the points at home.
Paper champions, all they are, all they ever will be. Giants are also going to be missing wide receivers Kenny Dalladay and Kadarius Toney, who have been showing some promise. So, speaking of paper champions, Giants.
But I believe they're getting Slayton back this week, though.
Oh, is Darius Slayton finally returning?
I believe so. I see he's listed as probable, so he'll probably play.
Very good.
Thank you.
You're good for one of those to show. Carolina paper champions, Carolina Deacon. I call them fraudulent. There's no doubt about that. But I'm looking at the Giants and their 10th-ranked passing offense, and I'm looking at some fraudulence there, too.
but Danny Dimes is the #2 quarterback.
Right. Yeah. Top graded, all that bullshit. Look, the Panthers D can get their rep back by blowing up the Giants like the Rams did last week. So there's your chance right there. If you want to get some reputation, there it is. I was laughing at some footage that I saw on a website showing what Hassan Reddick did to the Giants last year as a member of the Cardinals. I had forgotten about this, but Hassan Reddick last year had 5 sacks as a Cardinal against the New York Giants last year. All by himself, he had 5 sacks. Probably earned himself the contract that he got from the Carolina Panthers just on the basis of that game alone.
That's his hype tape right there. That's
there
the hype
reel. So he's going to come back in there to New York and try to wreck shop and the Panthers defense. Yeah, I am taking the Panthers and I am giving the 3. Yeah, they can save some face. They can get some rep back. I probably don't want to trust the Panthers on the road in most situations either, but this is the Giants at home. And if there's a home team that I trust less than the Giants, I don't know if there is, because, man, that's always – like, there's just something about the Giants at home. They're so good at disappointing their crowd. It's such a natural thing to pick against the Giants at home because they always seem to do this. It's like picking Red Sox opponents. Like, they love to lose at Fenway Park, and people don't realize how much money there is to be made off of picking against Boston at home because they're always such huge favorites. Everyone, it's Boston. They always win. Their home record isn't all that great, and neither is the Giants. So, yeah, I am going with the paper champions, with the Panthers.
Have to say real quickly here. Looks like the Braves just won the pennant. It makes me sad. I was actually rooting for a Dodgers Astros rematch. Now that I have no rooting interest left,
just because you wanted to see the Astros get their heads thrown at.
Just, I wanted Joe Kelly to pitch every inning of that World Series.
He would only be able to pitch one because one beanball and he'd be suspended the rest of the World Series.
Yeah, but I just wanted to see that specific matchup. I just wanted to see a lot of Joe Kelly headhunting Houston. But it looks like it's going to be Braves-Astros. That's, interesting.
It's different. It's either the Braves break through and get another ring to match the one that they got in the Maddux-Glavin era.
It's true, right? Think about all those World Series runs they had and came up short. Or do the Astros get some redemption?
Or do the Astros get redemption and Dusty get his first ring? It's kind of boggles the mind.
Yeah, I have to root for the Braves.
Either one kind of boggles the mind that it's going to happen. But, this should be an interesting World Series to watch for sure. All right, back to our picks. One more early game. The first of three double-digit spreads this week, the Detroit Lions and the Los Angeles Rams. It's the Stafford Golf Bowl. That's Detroit at L.A. So that actually starts our late afternoon slate. Three of the four games in the late afternoon, a double-digit spread. So good luck finding some good football there. 0-6 Detroit. We've talked about them and their knee-biting coach. And 5-1 Los Angeles. The spread is 16, and it's not the biggest of the week. Lions plus 16 at the Rams.
And it's not enough. This Rams defense, they face Jared Goff in practice. I'm going to guess they're salivating here. You got Dan Campbell now. He's threatening to bench Jared Goff. He's starting to get some revisionist history about the trade. I mean, nothing very good coming out about Jared Goff in the press, and you're still only 2 weeks removed from making your coach cry. What's Dan Campbell going to do after the Rams put up a 38-12 on him or something? It's not going to be very pretty. I'll take the Rams and give them all.
37-14 is my pick. That's really close. So, obviously, I concur. The only thing I'll say is I'm a little surprised. We've been making a little hay early in the year, taking the Lions and the points, and these are obviously huge points.
The crying did it in. But when they lost that game like that, and the coaches
killed it
the for coaches us. Like, yeah, that and look at what they did last week.
Oh man, yeah,
right on cue.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way Stafford's going to let this be a close game. I think he's just going to be out for blood in this one. I concur. However, I will have some fear, and I'll say that I thought Tom Brady was going to make Bill Belichick and the Patriots pay as well, and that wound up being a lot closer. But at least this one is at L.A. and not at Detroit. So maybe
I don't think this has the emotional impact that had.
Yeah, probably not. All right, on to the only close game of the late slate. It's the Eagles and the Raiders. Congrats to the Raiders again. First win in the post-Gruden era. The 2-4 Eagles are regular cop-out line plus 3 at the 4-2 Raiders.
Yeah, without all the Gruden drama, this is definitely more than a 3-point line because, I mean, the Raiders have actually been playing really good football. They had that clunker against the Bears right in the midst of all the Gruden stuff starting to come out. But you're already seeing the reports this week about the players talking about how much more calm the sideline is. I honestly think that the Raiders are a good team. They are a talented football team. And they score a lot of points. And again, I'm not gonna take the Eagles to put up that many points against the Raiders. I mean, this is maybe one step down from that Chiefs offense, but Derek Carr right back last week to throw in those YOLO balls again. He don't care. He's just throw them deep. And Philly doesn't have a problem giving those up. So I'll take the Raiders here in what feels like a bit of a value pick. This is a turmoil line.
The talented tight end for the Raiders, Darren Waller, has an ankle injury. So all of you fantasy nuts, watch out for that tomorrow. See if he gets out there on the field for them. Eagles protecting Jalen Hurts from the Vegas pass rush. That's the key to the game. That's been the key to the Vegas season this year. Two keys, like you said, the YOLO balls from Derek Carr and also the Vegas pass rush. finally, Derek Carr has learned to bomb away. I think Gruden got through to him just before he got canceled, that he's been begging Derek Carr to go deep and not be so afraid. And he was threatening to bench him over the years, as we know. And finally, it looks like the message got through. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a back-and-forth, interesting game. Of course, the Raiders through the air, but I think the Eagles definitely dominate on the ground. And I'm going to take the Eagles in the end. I've been talking about Jalen Hurts and his playmaking abilities, and I've been impressed. And I think a lot of people underestimate the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. I'm not saying he's one of those, you know, up-and-coming great quarterbacks, but I think he's right underneath there. And I think he's going to pull out some wins in games that people probably don't expect him to. So I think he'll run away from the pressure and sneak out a win for the Eagles. On to my Bears and the Buccaneers. The 3-3 Chicago Bears, fresh off of getting owned by Aaron Rodgers, now go down to Tommy and the world champion 5-1 Buccaneers. Chicago and Justin Fields plus 13 at Tampa Bay.
I think this is going to look a lot like that Cleveland game. Some people are going to be sitting on Fields in this game. You can't run on Tampa, so how do you set up your passing offense? And you don't really have many guys in the passing game who are going to be able to get much done. I think Tampa Bay is going to do a really good job of bottling Justin Fields up. And guess what Tom Brady's had to hear about all week? He gets to hear about that game they lost last year when he forgot what down it was. And nobody likes the manufactured phantom chip on his shoulder more than Tom Brady. Except maybe Aaron Rodgers, but I think it's Brady slightly ahead of Rodgers for manufacturing his own storylines and reasons to be motivated, and it works for him. I'm going to take Tampa here. This is my lock of the week.
Yeah, cue the Jordan meme, and I took that seriously, or personally, rather. Brady takes everything personally. You're absolutely right about that. Injury news, Damian Williams for the Bears, the running back, has been ungooped. He's off the COVID list, so he's going to get to play tomorrow. Tampa Bay got a lot of stars hurt. I know they're very deep, but, man, you talk about no Gronk, no Antonio Brown, no Richard Sherman, who they signed in desperation because their defensive backfield is already in tatters due to injuries. Their great underrated linebacker, Lavonte David, he's out as well. That's a lot of really good players missing for Tampa Bay. And you referenced the game last year where Brady went into Soldier Field and lost. And why did Brady lose that game? Not just because he forgot how many downs there were, but because we've been saying it for 20 years. How do you beat Tom Brady? Bust him in the fucking mouth. Chicago has a chance because Tampa Bay is missing all those talented players and because Khalil Mack and the Bears can bust Tom Brady in the fucking mouth. We were talking about Minnesota and how surprising they are in some categories. Here's one that I definitely was surprised when I looked up. Chicago, 21 sacks on the season. Tied for number one in all of football this year, tied with the Minnesota Vikings. What? Yeah, they can get after some teams. So I got the Bears. If they had a real head coach, they'd be an upset alert, and I might have locked up that big points. But because they don't have a coach, because I'm through with Nagy and Ryan Pace completely, I still got Tampa to win. But, yeah, I'll take the points. I'll take Chicago to stay close within 13. I think they got a chance. I'm also a homer, so take everything I say about the Bears with a grain of salt. On to the biggest spread of the season, the Houston Texans and the Arizona Cardinals. General Mills and the 1-5 Texans are plus 18 points at the 6-0 undefeated Arizona Cardinals.
General Mills, he's good for that one drive every game. So they'll only lose 40-7. I'll take the Cardinals.
I was about to say the one drive gets them 7, not 18. They need 3 drives in order to stay within.
Arizona's a team that's not – they're good. They're not arrogant. Like, they haven't been good long enough to overlook a team like the Texans. If Arizona was, like, really good and they've been good for 3-4 years, this would feel like – this would be like a Mike Tomlin special, right? This would be you're overlooking the opponent. Arizona's not that good yet. So I think they're just going out there and having fun, and there's so much talent on that field for that team. General Mills isn't staying within 3 touchdowns of these guys.
The general could really use a playmaker on his side of the field. Someone like, I don't know, you know, Nuke Hopkins. Wouldn't he be really good right now for – he could really use him.
J.J. Watt, maybe, to sack Kyler Murray.
Chandler Jones has the goop. He's not going to play for Arizona. Zach Ertz is a card. You were pointing that out last show that he is getting added onto the team because they need more offensive talent. So,
yeah, because they were clearly deficient in that category.
Right. So Jones down, but Ertz up. So maybe washes out in the end. I concur. Yeah, I know it's a huge ass number, but God, it's the Texans. It probably really is number one versus number 32. I mean, the Lions are 0-6, so maybe they're 32, but. Lions, Texans on a neutral field right now. Who you got? Because I think I got the Lions.
I got the Lions. They'll bite some ankles and cry.
Yeah. So, yeah, this probably is the best versus the worst. And in that case, 18 is probably fair. So I will concur. On Sunday Night Football, it's the Colts and the 49ers. Niners are coming off the bye. Jimmy G is back. Janine Garoppolo returns at quarterback. He doesn't have to swap any plays with Trey Lance, because Lance is hurt and he's not going to play at all. And Indianapolis is going to be missing T.Y. Hilton. He's already back down with a quad injury. Just came back last week and now he's hurt again. Paris Campbell, another receiver, got hurt in that game last week with a foot. So as good as Carson Wentz has been looking, he's going to be missing weapons already in this one. The 2-4 Colts plus 4 points out in San Francisco at the 2-3 Niners.
Yeah, you kind of took what I was going to say. It's like, oh, welcome back, T.Y. Hilton. Oh, wait, you're gone again. We hardly knew ye. No, Carson Wentz has been. You're not crapping on him every week. He's been playing pretty well. I think Jimmy G. Obviously, I think Kittle is out. They don't have all their weapons. I think, and you got to know that Shanahan doesn't like that. Trey Lance isn't there to be the sort of, Taysom Tebow factor out there. So it's going to be Jimmy G the whole game. You know what that smells to me? That smells, I'm getting cute. I think San Francisco wins by 3.
Yeah, that's his goal line quarterback, apparently. He doesn't trust his actual real quarterback to finish off drives. He's got to bring in the rookie as a gimmick. So I don't know about that. Yeah, I can't crap on Wentz at all. Look, 7.9 yards per throw this year, damn good. PFF graded Carson Wentz his highest career grade last week.
Wow.
Not in his MVP season. Last
he played week, a great game.
His highest graded game of his career.
Yeah. He's played Houston, but yeah, he played a great game.
He's playing the Texans. This is a caveat.
If he could play them every week, he'd be going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Good luck predicting either offense. I really can't say which way this is going to go with either one of them with any real confidence. I have no idea how this game is going to go. I do know that PFF gave another stat that Janine Garoppolo this year has 0 big-time throws, but 7 turnover-worthy plays.
Oh.
And that doesn't smell like getting cute to me. That smells like the Colts are going to win the game straight up. It's going to be rainy and windy. It's going to be probably best running game wins. And right now, that's got to be the Colts. They're actually running the ball more potently and better than the 49ers. Yeah. So I'm going to take Indy straight up in a ugly, rainy, low-scoring game. On Monday Night Football, it's the Saints visiting the Seahawks. The Saints are coming off the bye. They are 3-2. They won't have Taysom Tebow to go to switch off to quarterback because he's concussed. So that's going to be Jameis Winston the whole game. Jameis Winston versus Geno Smith on Monday Night Football, ladies and gentlemen.
Man, beat it.
And Jameis is actually the road favorite. This is how bad Geno is. He's got the Seattle Seahawks and that home advantage as 5-point underdogs hosting the New Orleans Saints.
This is Jameis against the Legion of Room coming off of a bye, and Geno, he's going to try. He's the try hard. He's going to do, but he's eventually just going to do some, oh God, Geno Smith things. So I thought about locking this one up, but it's still a lot of points on the road for kind of an iffy situation, but I'll still take the Saints and give the points.
there's no chance I would lock Jameis Winston on the road giving five. There's never a situation where I lock that. New Orleans contending to be the team that runs away with the Heckle and Jaya Award. You don't know what they're doing from one week to another, but they should stop Geno Smith. It's Geno Smith. So I concur with that one and take the Saints. But still gotta be nervous about it because, after all, it is Jameis Winston. On our after show,
would this be good week or bad week for Jameis?
Let's see. Well, they're off the bye, so you got to do the math. So that would be
good, bad,
then the bye. So this would be bad, I believe. That's
uh-oh. That'll probably still be good enough.
And now into our VIP after show program. You didn't lock it up, so you don't have to worry too much about it.
I did, but yeah, he'll probably throw two touchdowns and throw three picks, and they'll still cover the number.
Bad Jameis versus old guy Geno. So you got to pick one or the other anyway. So we're both going to go with Jameis in that one. So that's our football party. Now into our after show. So you were going to discuss our possible upcoming schedule next week.
Yes, I won't be around.
Oh. There's our discussion, folks.
I got something going on Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and then into probably the mid-afternoon now on Sunday. We're out of town.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so okay. I really don't have a good opportunity. First, I was like, well, I mean, Thursday's really early. Oh, wait, no, I'm going to be out on Thursday, and then we're heading out of town on Friday morning, and we won't get back until Sunday, probably after the games kick off.
Oh, okay.
So I will plan on, I'll send you my picks and I'll send you my picks with a little note for what I'm doing, and I'll let you decide on how you want to do that, if you need a guest or what you want to do.
I will probably just set up a solo show. The text that you were sending me earlier in the week.
Yeah,
suggesting...
originally we were going to leave on Thursday and come back on Saturday evening. And then my wife changed the plans so that we're leaving on Friday and coming back on Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
So that changed.
Originally, we were going to do a Sunday morning show.
To just get up and do a show on Sunday before the games kicked off, but now it turns out we'll be driving home on Sunday morning.
Right. I probably will just schedule a solo show for Sunday morning and get in and get out and just give our picks like that. Because, perfect world, that's probably when I would want to do a show would be Sunday mornings, right before everybody gets ready to start their football Sundays.
Right.
I know why we do it, Friday and Saturday nights is, because of the family situation, but for both of us.
And I work on Sundays.
And you work on Sundays.
That makes it a little bit more difficult. Sundays. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm leaning towards. Probably what I'm going to wind up doing.
Yeah, if anything opens up in there, or if I think I might have a window, I'll let you know. But as it's looking right now, it's not looking good.
Okay, well.
Where we're going to be, I can't guarantee that there'd be like good cell reception.
Right.
Since we're going to be over up north of Green Bay, up on Lake Michigan there, taking the kids for a Halloween festival. We've never done anything like that with them, so they're excited. They get to go, walk around and do some trick-or-treating and dress up and, just have fun. They've got a five-day weekend, actually, from school, so they're off Wednesday through Sunday for school. So let's go off and do something. And then, of course, I'm like, well, this will work out because we're going to do this thing because this festival's on Saturday, and we're going to drive home Saturday after it's over. Well, it turns out the thing goes all day. And it goes into the evening, and then there's like a haunted thing. And my wife's like, well, we're going to do that. So she changed our hotel reservations, and now that means I'm not as accessible at all on Sunday as I thought I was going to be.
Right. So, yeah, if I set up a Sunday morning show and then something frees you up anytime before then, it's easy to move that show to some other time.
Yeah, that would be me riding in a car talking about football. I don't know how with the cute factors in the background, I'm sure.
and the wife growling on the side there.
That would be some very interesting radio.
So, yeah, I'll set up something for Sunday morning, and then if plans change, then definitely let me know.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Or if I think there's something, I could sneak in a phone call. Definitely not Saturday night, but if there was going to be a night that I could sneak something, maybe Friday night, but then we're going to be in a hotel. And I know I'll be getting some side eye if I'm...
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, you know what I mean.
No, definitely.
Especially with the kids being a little older now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I this is an exciting show. I get loud. I have to hear that all the time. You know, I get a text from my wife from the bedroom. Could you keep it down out there?
They think that's loud. Wow. Yeah, they, they weren't around, you know, they weren't alive when we were really getting loud and getting crazy on our phone calls. So they think you're loud now.
When we were doing the picks, yeah, that we were doing people think we do a 2-hour show picking these games, and that's a long show.
We're editing ourselves.
Yeah, because we're cutting out all the fluff, you know.
We could really take some
between the picks.
We could really take some left turns and talk about all sorts of things.
That would be the merging of our pick show with the Kings of Non Sequitur shows.
Yes.
And then going on a 20-minute tangent, then getting back to another football pick.
Wait, speaking of crazy, did you hear what this dude just said the other day?
Yeah. Or a game that we just don't want to pick, so we'll just talk about something else for half an hour.
Yes. Did a lot of that.
Yeah. Like Panthers-Giants would have been on the back burner for a while.
We started talking about Sam Darnold and ghosts and getting into ghost stories or something. Yeah, we would have went off on something.
Oh, yeah, totally. That would have gone off in many different directions. So,
yes.
So you have a story or a commentary or
a little bit of cancel culture. The upshot of it is, although everyone who is against cancel culture, which is just people having consequences put on their actions, just be patient. But if you keep your nose clean, everyone gets another opportunity. Everybody gets back in a rotation. Everybody gets a chance to do and say whatever they want to do. Just give it some time. And the reason I know this is because of what's happened recently for one guy getting canceled for another. And it just struck me, the juxtaposition was really odd. And I wanted to comment on that. So my favorite wrestler, Nature Boy Ric Flair, who everyone knows is, that's the guy who put it in his own tagline, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, something like that. He's a bastard. He probably has forced himself on hundreds of women throughout his life. And that's just what he did because he's Nature Boy Ric Flair, and he probably never thinks that any woman should ever turn him down because he's Ric Flair. He even did a documentary. ESPN did a wonderful documentary about him called Nature Boy, and he appeared in it and talked about himself and about all the things that he did and all the women that he bedded, and he was married at the time with children and whatnot, and he's crying and he's talking about what a terrible father he was and terrible husband and et cetera, et cetera. And he didn't get canceled for any of that because kind of like we kind of knew, like, dude, you're Ric Flair. Of course you're a bastard. Everyone knows that. So that was a few years ago. That was longer than a few. It was probably about 4 or 5 years ago that came out. So recently, the Dark Side of the Ring series on Vice that I've been raving about, and I haven't watched the episode yet because I'm actually waiting to binge this most recent season after the football is over. I want to have a Sunday where I just binge this Dark Side of the Ring season that they're having right now. But they had an episode recently about this, what's called the plane ride from hell. And basically it's such a bad legend. It's such a legendary plane ride. There's so many bad things happen that there's, you know, it's a thing itself. They had a whole episode about a plane ride from like 2000, WWE tour of, I believe they were in England, and they were flying back to America. So we're talking, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours in the air. And this plane ride is so legendary because guys got drunk and started fighting, and other guys started, you know, trying to feel up the stewardesses and stuff. And Ric Flair is front and center as far as getting stories told about his actions. He didn't talk on this particular documentary, but everyone was talking about him and his actions, and that he basically took out his, you know, his thing and started trying to push stewardesses against the door and against the wall of the plane, and trying to you know, assault them with his wang. And this is, you know, Ric Flair stuff. This is kind of what he did when he got drunk, and so it's not so much of a surprise. But the reason he got canceled over it was because it was shown as such a horrifying thing that he did, that he this basically that he tried to force himself and commit sexual assault. And they also the documentary had the stewardess speaking as part of the show, and she apparently had never spoken out before, and it got a lot of bad press for Ric Flair. So he got taken off of, he wasn't on WWE TV anymore, but he was in their little opening package before every show. They took him out of that. They had his woo as part of the package. They took that out. It's just, you know, dead air where that used to be. So that's kind of, you know, makes it stand out. Like, there used to be something right there. I remember there was some, oh, it was a woo. It's not there anymore. And there was even a ancillary canceling from that episode, because one of the wrestlers that was on that flight was Tommy Dreamer. And the way he described the actions of Ric Flair, he painted it as a boys will be boys. This is, you know, it was just a joke. It wasn't that big a deal. And then, you know, said that the stewardess, I guess she at some point took a financial settlement out of this situation. And he said basically if she really felt that way about it, then maybe she shouldn't have taken the money. She should have, you know, pressed charges or something. So victim blaming is never a good thing. So he was actually scheduled to wrestle on Impact Wrestling like a week or so after this aired, and he got yanked right off of that show, and they haven't seen him since. They disappeared him like Effingham. He's just gone. They don't know where Tommy Dreamer is anymore, because they just pulled him right off the show. So there's cancellations going on all over the place. But the one cancellation for Ric Flair was these what's the name of the company? It's some sort of like car security. And I'm not trying to not say the name on purpose to not give them credit.
Yeah.
I'm just old and I actually forget the name of the service, but it's car Shield, I believe is what it is. So they have these ads all over the place. If you watch sports TV and wrestling shows, and Ric Flair was a big part of that campaign. He was sitting there in his robe and taking phone calls and, how may I help you? I'm the Nature Boy, and chopping people in the office and stuff. And those commercials got completely disappeared after this came out. So CarShield canceled them as well. And the interesting part about that is the commercials that replaced the Ric Flair commercials for CarShield. Those same spots are running on certain wrestling shows, but it's not Ric Flair anymore. It's Ice-T. If you're as old as we are, you remember Ice-T used to be a very controversial figure in rap.
Oh, yeah.
Because he, not, you know, gangster rap in the 80s and 90s was, you know, obviously a thing, and was just becoming something that people were aware of, and you started sticking these albums with the parental advisory stickers. Oh, this is so dangerous. You got these guys, you know, using language and talking about women and gangs and stuff. So Ice-T wasn't controversial necessarily for that, although he did a lot of that. He was more controversial because of that he broke off into a rock band and did a splinter project called Body Count, and they released an album that included a song called Cop Killer. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a song all about a fantasy of going out and killing a bunch of cops. And that obviously didn't go over very well back in the day. And I'd never heard of this before. The Warner Brothers, I believe the label was Warner Brothers, actually pulled the album off the shelves. It got so much controversy. And later on re-released the album without that song on it. The song just got erased as if it never happened. And I don't remember that. I don't ever remember an album being that controversial that the label went back and just erased the song from the album and then reissued the album. I do remember Michael Jackson had a greatest hits collection in which he had a new single out, and in the single there was a Jewish slur, and that got enough controversy that I think that's Epic Records, I think it's his label, they eventually pulled that album and then re-released it. But the song was still on there. They just edited out that Jewish slur. So they didn't erase the whole song. They just got rid of that one part that was so kind of hurt. But the Body Count album got re-released, and they just completely got rid of that song, Cop Killer, because that's how they were picketing stores and the record store back when they sold record, back when they had record stores. Like, Ice-T was like a big-time controversial figure and, you know, persona non grata, and every politician that wanted to make his bones, you know, said something about, oh, the music like this is what's, you know, making our kids bad and ruining the youth of America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that just threw me for a loop when I saw that the Ric Flair commercials that got taken out because of his bad behavior are now being replaced by a cute, cuddly Ice-T sitting up there talking about how his cars are so protected and Car Shield makes your car go farther and you really want Car Shield and this, that, and the other. Cancel culture is something that everyone's talking about, but look, just bide your time, do what Ice-T did. Ice-T faded into the background, the whole Body Count thing faded away a little bit. I think he still might perform with them every now and then, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't perform Cop Killer. I don't think they play that song anymore.
Encore.
But look, you're going to get back on, if you get, you know, on the front page, if you get on the media, now it's the front page. I'm dating myself again. If you get on the website, if you get on social media, and for whatever it is that you said or did, just chill. Just take it easy. Give it a little time. Everything dies down, and eventually everything comes back. And if you're wanted, if people want to hear from you again, you'll be heard from again. I never would have thought that Ice-T would have forged a 20-year career as a playing a cop, ironically, on TV, on Law & Order SVU, and keeping his nose clean and being the family man. And now he gets to do commercials and take the place of other guys canceled. So it's just what goes around comes around type thing that struck me as really crazy and really interesting, that you get one guy canceled and you're replaced by the guy that used to write and sing songs about killing cops. Like, if he can come, if a guy who made a song about killing policemen can come back and get endorsements and TV deals and TV shows, then I don't think anyone else needs to worry about cancel culture, because that guy I thought would have been canceled forever.
Yeah, well, you know, as much as we love the act of the cancellation, people love the redemption arc, too.
Sure.
Right. Everybody loves a comeback story. I mean, look at people who we think have been just completely canceled, and they show up again. You know, they find their way back. They get back into the good grade. Remember when they tried to cancel Drew Brees? Remember?
Oh, yeah, for his comments.
Nobody. We talk about it. You know, we gave him awards for it, but nobody. It just kind of went away. You know,
hasn't said anything since, and he kept his nose clean, and now he's on NBC.
And hell, though, they're putting Mel Gibson in movies again.
Yeah, that kind of blew me away. Like, really?
Everybody. You know, which means we're probably only a couple of years away from seeing Kevin Spacey in movies again.
Oh no!
Everything comes back.
Well, if they do that, then they might as well, you know, 5 years from now, they might as well have Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby do a duet or something.
Oh,
you know.
What's Cosby up to these days?
Ooh, I'm back at home and eating my pudding pops.
He's got to be doing something.
He got out of jail. Some technicalities. He's back at home.
Like you said, if there's a demand for it and everybody kind of gets that test, they test the waters, you know, they put something out there. And if everybody doesn't just go all up in arms and try to recancel the person, then they just sort of allow them back in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean,
take it easy.
Look at all the good wrestling. Hasn't everybody been canceled? Look at Hogan was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried to work him back in, right?
Vince keeps trying to work him in all the time. Like, he would have already worked Hogan all the way back in if it wasn't for, like, everybody backlashing against it. But he keeps trying.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just where we're at right now, especially with, you know, with social media. Everybody's looking for the, you know, whether there's valid reasons or not valid reasons, everything's a gotcha, right? Everybody's hypersensitive to everything. You know, you have the Gruden thing. Then it was a few days later, you have the Dave Chappelle thing going.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody, it's outrage of the day, right? It's an outrage society. You know, everybody gets all outraged about one thing, and then rests on that for about 12 hours, and then they get outraged about something else. I mean, there's the fuel. It's pervasive in our society right now.
Yeah, I'll admit that I get weary about seeing, oh, somebody else said this, and now we gotta, oh, here we go, gotta protest this and boycott and cancel that, and oh boy.
But and unfortunately, whether you agree with it or not, you know, and then I'm sure there's situations where it could be warranted, you know, but what happens is when you start to see it's the same thing over and over, it's the same people, like, you know, calling for the canceling over. It's like, you just realize that there's people who just get off on this stuff. There's people who just live to be outraged.
It's a very lucrative business too.
It is.
People who
canceling
live
people
to go on network TV to talk about the cancellations and who needs to be canceled. And I'm sure they don't do that for free.
You know, I've thought this, and talked about this with COVID. You know, with the virus, there's people who just get off on this culture that we're in right now with the virus. There are going to be people who are going to have a hard time if things ever get back to normal. There's just going to be those people who will refuse to get back to normal.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, there's those people on one side, and there's people on the other side who it feels like they don't want to get back to normal. Like, they want COVID around as much as possible. And they want to do everything they can to keep it around. And it's those two extremes, I don't understand either one of them, quite frankly.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience with people who are, like, actively out there just, like, trying to, like, you know, like, give it to me. I want it. Spread it around. I'm going to go lick some doorknobs. but, yeah, there's a whole lot of just craziness out there with everything right now. Everything is polarized. Everything is political. You know, everything is, you know, you've got the yeah, but Trump crowd. Like, you can't, you know, like, just everybody, you know, it's like with everything going on right now, you've got, like, this whole cadre of people where if you cannot criticize anything that happens right now, because they'll just go, yeah, but Trump. It's like, no, it's not, no.
You remember what Trump did, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, just that thing that you're criticizing, like, Joe Biden about, it's okay, because we can just say something about Trump. It's like, oh, it's like, it's literally like people out there who just think it's just this left-right dynamic and that's all that exists in this country are kind of missing the point.
Yeah.
And sort of fueling.
What they
fueling,
are, then that's not good.
Which is, well, it's just fueling what is the problem with everything is that there's that 20% on the left and 20% on the right who think in nothing other than just tribalism. We're always right and you're always wrong, right? You guys are Hitler.
And that loud minority.
Yeah, both sides calling each other Hitler. That's not going to get a lot done.
No, that's not going to accomplish anything. I think
Trump I read a book about that is the end of all arguments, right? It's basically everybody argues, and when they argue their point, eventually it just escalates to one side, and somebody is going to eventually just say Hitler. That's what all political discourse is in this country now, that we're just going to argue back and forth, and eventually it's like, who can call the other Hitler first? It's like, name that tune. It's name that Hitler.
I can name it in two.
well, yeah, but Trump. Well, yeah, you're Hitler. Oh, man, you got me. I can't beat that.
And then there's a couple of places where you can find the well, actually crowd. Well, actually, Hitler wasn't all bad. So now you can't even do that. You can't even Some people, you can't even go to Hitler as the ultimate evil.
You can't even end the argument
actually,
with Hitler because someone's going to defend Hitler. Yeah, yeah,
well,
right?
Actually, some of the things he did wasn't too bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they had nice roads. Oh.
I mean, all the killing of Jews and stuff.
How did those roads look in 1945 when they were all full of bomb marks? Bet you they looked really good after we firebombed their cities and millions were dead. It wasn't all bad.
Exterminating people, yeah, yeah. But they had some decent social programs, though, so it was okay. I can't.
The garbage was picked up on time.
Oh, well, that makes everything all right.
Oh, well, you know, what I wouldn't do for my garbage to be picked up at the same time every week, I'd murder 6 million people.
Well,
they have
actually,
nice roads.
Yeah, it's definitely the extremist age right now.
Right, yeah, and it's not, you know, I don't pick on one side or the other because there's so much that you could make fun of both ways, right? You know, you got the right, which is crazy. You got the left who can't take any criticism because every reaction to criticism is, well, but Trump. I mean, we're going to be like 70 years old and you're going to be like, you know, whoever the president is, if it's a Democrat, they're going to say something. Oh, but remember Trump did something.
I would hope that, you know, with 10, 15, 20, I don't know. I'm just completely guessing.
You would hope
with
time.
Yeah. With a number of years of social media, because I sometimes make fun of you saying social media is the evil and the end of the world.
Especially now with the, like, you know, I've got this thing where anytime I go on Twitter, and anytime I open up Twitter, if the thing I open up with on Twitter is trying to tell me a fact check, I immediately think it's bogus. Because these fact checks are mostly being run. You know, you think about this, it's all corporations, right? Like, people are now at the point where agreeing with the government and big corporations and big pharmaceutical companies and Hollywood, that makes you like the rebel. Well, it actually, that's not the way it works. And how much of our, you know, how much of our society has been co-opted by, you know, like six media companies, right? And you think about all this stuff. And if I am so dumb that I can't go and find out information for myself, that I need a fact check that's put out on Twitter to go, oh, well, now I know, then yeah, we're in some trouble.
But I need to know. I need to know if Nicki Minaj really had a cousin whose testicles exploded because he got the COVID vaccine something.
It's not just enough to put out something like that, right? This is the problem now with the policing of Twitter and Facebook and all that, is they think that people are too stupid to realize this. So then they try to like baby you with it and mother you with, no, really, this is the truth. And as soon as it's like, no, when you start to become the purveyors of truth, just let it be. Let people look and go, oh, that's stupid, right? And if somebody believes it, you can't stop them.
Well,
think we didn't land on the moon. There's people who think the world is flat, right? There's all kinds. I don't need to go on Twitter tomorrow morning and go, according to AP and PolitiFact, we landed on the moon in July 1969. Fact checkers confirm. Come on. Because if I see that, then I'm going to be like, well, did we? Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
I agree with you in general that you don't need that to know what's real and what's not. And I don't need that to know what's real and what's not. But unfortunately, there are that many people out there that need that to try to figure out what's real and what's not, because there's so much disinformation out there. So I understand why there's such a push to try to get real facts and information out there. But I understand when you get so much of it that you start to go, okay, what's really going on here? So I get that. But
it's
I just wish...
It's the... it's the internet and social media and a lot of these, they don't feel like the open forum that it used to be, right? It feels very echo chamber to me, right? You know,
yeah,
people are going to listen to and hear what they want to hear. They're going to watch the news that they agree with, right? That's why you have Fox and you have CNN, right? That's why you literally have what's supposed to be quote-unquote news organizations who can both report the same news, but then you're going to get the way you want to hear it from one station and the way you want to hear it from the other. That's sort of what it becomes, right? It's just the, you know, and then, again, I'm not picking on one or the other. I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong, but you're going to get a slant, and people are just going to go to what they want to hear. And that's all people are getting. Now, people aren't getting information and making their own decisions anymore. They're being told, what you know, like, this is the way you should look at it.
Yeah, they're getting the slant that they will accept.
Oh, and every news article now, it's like I used to be able to pick up a news. Newspapers were boring, right? That's why they don't exist anymore. And for the most part, you didn't have, like, the emotional words or, like, where you could tell what the slant was of the person who was writing the news article. It was just like, here's what happened.
You had it in the editorial section. Now it's in the main sections.
Right. Right. So there are no more news shows. It's all news commentary. There is no more, like, newspapers. It's, like, basically, like you said, it's editorializing all over the front page of the page. So, and again, people are just going to go get the news where they want it. Then you start to get all the alternate news. You have the alternate news on the left. You have the alternate news on the right. And that's more of the extreme version of it to either side, where it's literally, you're Hitler.
Well, actually.
Well, yeah, but they had nice roads.
Oh, it's a mess.
especially with how crazy it is, right? I can tell you, working in the industry that I work in, selling – you know, major appliances, getting people, you know, that used to take, it used to be people would get bitchy if it took you a month, right? They'd bought us something like a fridge or a dishwasher or something, right? You get it in a month, you start getting crabby phone calls. I mean, we're delivering stuff to people now 14 months after they bought it.
Oof.
A year after they bought it. And you know, and these people don't have a lot of choice because you have to have that real conversation, like, well, yeah, you can cancel your order, but if you don't find something readily available, then you have to order. You're just to the back. You go from the front of the line to the back of the line, right?
Right. You're going to have to wait either way.
You go to Disney World and you want to switch roller coasters. After you just waited for line for 3 hours and go, I think I'm going to go on this other one. There better be no line
on that one, too.
There better be no line. And, I've never seen anything like it before. There's hardly anything available. And this goes across, like, all vendors, all manufacturers. You know, you hear all these stories about car lots where the cars are complete, but they don't have the computer chips to put in the cars.
Yeah, definitely a big shortage of
computer
chips.
We know people who are buying cars right now being told that, yeah, you can buy the car, but you won't get it till 2023.
Mm.
So, yeah. It's, you know, so I see it in my job, and I can tell you, it's high stress. It's high stress with a lot of people. And it's not it's the people, to your point, like, there's those people out there who just need to be, like, spoon-fed the information. The people who are the most, like, agitated about the situation right now are the people who walk in and go, well, why is it taking so long? What do you mean? What's going on? Like, wait a minute. Whoa.
There's something going on in the world? What?
You've missed every news article about these hundreds of container ships lined up and down the West Coast that we can't get product into the country, that there's 80,000 truck drivers shortage right now, that you can't, that California's regulations are so absurd that you can only do certain things for certain times. It's right. It's like this bottleneck of things. Oh, and oh, by the way, we're still in the middle of a global pandemic. That's stringing things, and, like, more people are out of work. It's like, you don't know anything has happened. Like, those are the people. It's just like, you just want to, like, what do you do? How do
I
you
didn't
argue?
See any of that. I saw that Biden had a mask mandate, and he's Hitler.
Yeah, Hitler. It's Hitler. Just blame Hitler. I should do that. Why is it taking so long? Hitler. I blame Hitler. I actually had a lady today who was blaming Joe Biden for all this stuff. And while Biden might not be blameless in this, this has been going on since before Biden. This isn't a Biden problem or a Trump problem. It's a problem. Sometimes a problem can just be a problem. And I tried to explain. I was like, no, there's actually a lot of factors involved in this. If it was just one problem.
No, right? that's not what I saw in the news that I follow.
That's not what I saw on Newsmax.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it was Hitler.
What I follow said is all Biden's fault. All of it.
Right. Because it's funny because a lot of this stuff that got bought back when Trump was president still. So what people have the most trouble...
Yeah, but Biden came in and messed it up. That's what happened.
Yeah, or they go, oh, it's all the money Biden gave away. Trump gave away stimulus money, too. They don't want to hear that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they did. Well, that did happen, though. That's why... And inflation, that's the other thing. I work in an industry, right, where prices
What's
used
that?
To go up. Once every 1 to 3 years, prices would go up, right? Major price increases. We're talking sometimes 1 year, every 1 year, maybe every 2 years, depending on the manufacturer. Now they're going up every 90 days.
Yeah.
I mean, they're literally every 90 days, stuff's going up. I've literally come into work, and then the next day, something went up $500. Oof. Yeah, it is a completely different world. So I'm seeing it. And it's just funny because you've got – like, I have an understanding of it because I work in the business and I watch the news and I know what's happening. And we talk to the manufacturers. They send stuff out. They send you these lengthy explanations. So you know it's not just – you know, I don't get an email from a manufacturer that goes, that's Joe Biden's fault. We don't have any product. We can't get anything made. It's Joe Biden's fault that this computer chip factory – over in Japan burned to the ground last year in March. Like, that's Joe Biden's fault, apparently. You know,
you're not dealing with the right manufacturers. If you were dealing with the MyPillow guy, he would tell you
But that's the other part of it too, is if it's not people blaming Biden for it, they're blaming Trump. And again, they're trying to place blame for something that the blame can go all around. It's not one person. It's not one thing. It's a lot of things that have snowballed into a major crisis and just trying to go, well, yeah, it's just that one guy's fault. That's just easy, right? That is literally the yeah, but Hitler problem.
But it's the most profitable way of going about things, because if you tell people about multiple factors, they're turning the channel over to the other people that are telling you that it's all Trump and it's all Biden.
Right. If you just go, here's what happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, and somebody goes, oh, wow, I understand that, and I'll just form my own opinion. But if you read the other article that goes, that dirty, rotten, bastard communist Joe Biden's fault, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm on board with that. He's Hitler.
Yeah. So that's where we are.
That's our society. So again, you probably not having, needing to buy a major appliance in a while, right? Yep.
Right.
I'll tell you what, you go out and you need one and you walk in and they go, well, yeah, you can order this, but it's going to take like 8 months. And you can be like, what do you mean? I didn't know
factors?
There were things happening in the economy and it was taking the production.
What do you mean, factors?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't understand these factors. No, I know, because when I bought my used car, I basically was reading stuff that's saying, you need to start buying, if you're going to buy a car, you need to start buying it now because things are about to start going crazy as far as those prices and those. And yeah, the computer chip thing, I've definitely been reading about that for a long time. So, factors. There are definitely factors. We know that. I know that. You know that. But the problem is there are a whole lot of people that don't know that or don't want to
A lot of the people are the, it's my money and I need it now. It's those people. Yeah. I've been called names. I've had it cause strain even within the family, like selling a family member something and then having it be delayed and being called, you know, basically, you know, having like my like personal and business integrity called out because
of this
stuff. Oh yeah. Yeah. So yeah. It is a very stressful time.
Yeah.
you know. It's just every day. It's a fight. It is literally. It feels like a fight every day. To try to, you know, sell something. Like if you're trying to sell something and you have nothing, that's a talent.
That doesn't sound easy.
You're used to dealing from a full deck, right? You're used to, like, you want this one, you want this one. People will be like, oh, yeah, my fridge died this morning. Well, here's my list. What do you want?
Yeah.
Well, that's a really short list. Yeah.
That's what I got.
That's what we have. Well, yeah, but I wanted to have this, and I wanted to have this, and I don't want that color. It's like, well, it's not on that list. How long do you want to wait for it? Yeah, pretty much, yeah. My fridge died last night. Didn't you hear me? Yeah.
What the hell are you supposed to do about that?
Yeah. I didn't climb into your window and break your fridge. I'm telling you, here's what you can have, and you can have this right away. Yeah, but I don't want this. You wouldn't believe it. Like people who are desperate for things, and then they're picking.
Yeah. Right, right.
So that's my life right now. So I just I'm just gonna start blaming Hitler.
I know retail people have been dealing with. I just didn't know that it had gotten to that point where you've been cussed out and stuff. How can people have a problem? I mean,
with the salesperson, right?
Yeah.
Some of the people will be like, "Well, you didn't tell me it was gonna take this long." I'm like, well, I didn't know when you bought it was gonna take this long. If I knew it was going to take this long when you bought it, I might have sold you something else. Don't you think that sounds reasonable?
No, it sounds like you're trying to the snow job me, man. There's something going on here. You must be one of them.
You people I actually got called you people, believe it or not. Mm. I know how you people are. I'm like, man, did I just get you people? It's like, what do you mean, you people? Yeah.
Welcome to the club, my friend. Is all
I got you people. Yeah, that's the first. I think that might be the first time. Well, like not the first time, but I got you people as a salesperson. I'm a dirty, rotten salesperson.
You people. You salespeople.
You people. Yeah. Oh man, we're filthy.
You sell me things and then say you don't have them. I know what your deal is.
I know what you're doing. You're turning around and selling that to somebody else. You got my money, you people.
You salesperson, you.
Mm-hmm. Like, I wish I had that much power.
Bad as being called a Karen.
That's okay, because that's usually who's saying that to me.
I need to speak to your manager, please.
Uh-huh. Pretty much.
Can I please speak to your manager? Who's your supervisor?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
The news shows reminded me of one small aspect I didn't talk about on the Virgin Voyages cruise, which is their selection of channels, which is why I couldn't watch football at all, was interesting to say the least. They only had four. They had four channels, and they were all news channels.
Was this London? They had BBC One, BBC Two.
Yes, BBC, Fox, MSNBC, and I think CNN. They had four channels. They were all news, and I'm like, I'm not watching any of this.
Wait a minute. Okay, first of all, you're on a pleasure cruise. Why would you want to watch the news?
You're on an adults-only cruise. It's not necessarily a – when you say pleasure cruise, I think we're still going back to the –
I'm not talking sex boat. This isn't Lake Minnetonka.
Yeah.
You're
but that's what we were kind of wondering if it was going to be.
But it's still a – but you're on a pleasure cruise, right? You're on a – like you said.
You're on vacation.
It tears away. It made you feel more loose. Like it was a very adult experience. And what better way – to enjoy your evening when you get back to the room is to flip on the TV to watch people call each other Hitler.
I the only thing I can think is go the other way. Like the only place you could do all news lineup is on an adults only cruise. You sure the fuck wouldn't do that on Carnival or Disney. That's the only thing I can. I'm just trying to grasp the straws as to why they would choose to do that. But I didn't turn on the TV at all the entire cruise. There's no way, even if I wanted to watch TV during a cruise, I'm certainly not going to sit there.
You know, having never been on a cruise, and I don't know, because you're out at sea, it's your sea day or whatever, and maybe there's a lot of downtime, but I wouldn't expect that there'd be a lot of downtime on a cruise.
There that can you'd be going if you wanted to be.
Yeah, like, I mean, who goes on a cruise to lock themselves in their cabin and watch CNN?
You'd be surprised. I'd be surprised, apparently, because that's what the selections were. Now, there's a whole bunch of movies you could order, and I did actually watch a movie on one of the C-Days.
Did you watch Titanic?
Different. I did not watch Titanic.
Or the Poseidon Adventure?
I'd be programming
my cruise ship.
I was about to say I don't think those were available, but Titanic might have been available because they did have a selection of really good movies. They were all – and it was from all different eras. They went up as far back as, I think, like Gone with the Wind. It was a lot of – yeah, it was a lot of movies.
Let's watch a four-hour epic while we're on a cruise. That's a good movie.
You can have downtime in your room if you choose to. Like, you don't have to wake up and go to the buffet or go to the casino or go. You don't have to go anywhere if you don't want to. You can stay in the room all day if you want to.
I mean, I know you could. I just don't know why you would.
Some people like to live like that, and I remember the first cruise I went on, I almost passed out, and so maybe you are bedridden
you're seasick. You're seasick. You're on quarantine because the whole boat got COVID.
Hopefully that didn't happen or won't happen.
Well, that happened right at the beginning. Do you remember there was that one cruise ship that was just floating offshore forever?
Yeah, I definitely remember.
I think there were two of them. And because that was back when they didn't really know. They were like, well, it's the death ship, you know, like they're bringing in the plague.
Right.
You know, it's the ship with the rats that's going to come running off from Europe to cause the Black Death. That was, you know, we can joke about that now because that's not really how it was, but that's how they were treating it.
That's what they were afraid of. There was no vaccine yet.
I remember those early days. Well, those early days of the over-sensationalism that we had at the very beginning of COVID when they're like, well, this could have a 20% mortality rate. You're like, holy crap. You know?
I don't know if I remember hearing that, but...
Yeah, that was like right at the very beginning. And then they boiled it. Then they got it down to 4%. And that was, and it turned out it's like 0.02%. But, at the beginning they were talking, even 3%, you go, well, there's 330 million people in this country. If 4% of them die, that's like a massive number, right?
Right.
Turned out it wasn't that. But at the beginning, and it was just that overabundance of caution at the very beginning, and they shut everything down, and they didn't have a handle on anything. So, you got a ship full of people who all get it. And they're like, nuh-uh, you stay out there.
You don't know what you're bringing over here.
That's right. You stay out at sea and just float around until everybody's better. And that's kind of what they did.
Dirty cruise people.
That's right. The SS Hitler.
You're all Hitler.
I'm like the History Channel tonight. It's all Hitler all the time. I used to call it the Hitler Channel, actually, because Hitler's women, Hitler's cars, Hitler and the occult.
I'm glad I don't flip past History Channel very much.
It's a lot of Hitler.
He had
nice roads. Nice roads.
Oh, well, that explained everything. That took care of everything. Keep making him out to be this evil creature.
They're making him out to sell as a really bad guy. And then all of these stations switched over to basically... like quasi reality shows now, so it's all like Pawn Stars and American Pickers, and now that's all it is. So that's all it is this cheap to produce phony reality TV.
Yeah, I watch zero of that. So I watch enough bad acting with pro wrestling, so I don't need that.
Yeah, so you get your fill.
Yes.
So how many do we disagree on this week? It can't be that many. I'm thinking it's like maybe four.
Oh, let's see. You're usually real good at picking that out of the air.
It feels like four, maybe five tops.
Two, three. Yep, four it is.
Four. Okay, it's kind of the feel. It felt like four. There's only 12 more games.
That's right. So four out of 12 is not that low a percentage, because if it was the full like 15, if you do the percentage, 33%,
right.
So that'd be five. That's about normal, isn't it? About five or six,
I guess. And we already disagreed on Thursday, so that's what, 5 out of 13 that we disagree on.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
Yeah, that's not an insane number.
Right. It's not
yeah,
cool,
when there's only
cool,
when there's only 13 games. Yeah, I need to have one of my midweek specials where I have one of those like 11-2, you know.
Yeah.
I always had those, like, for some reason, whenever the schedule would get tight and we'd have those bye weeks, it was like all of a sudden I'd be pulling out these like crazy, like 10-3, 11-2. And as soon as we go back to 16 games, I'd crap the bed again. But I got to start catching up. And I got one.
And I apologize. I'm looking down your list and I don't see an underline. I know I hit the sound for your lock of the week. I just forgot to underline it. So remind me again.
Oh, I get a chance to, like, read. I had the Tampa. I had the Bucks. I locked up the Bucks.
Whoever you want. So it was Tampa Bay. Okay.
Yeah, I
mean,
I locked up Tommy.
I'll listen to the show,
I know
which one it was. So
I know they're beat up.
Yeah.
But they're still really good.
They are. They are. And they're playing a Bears team that can be really, really bad sometimes. But sometimes they can be really good. So. Go Bears.
Maybe I.
Sometimes the defense can be really good. Maybe not the offense.
Yes. Yes. They tried. They tried against the Packers. That defense tried to shut down Rodgers. They were getting after him. They had the sacks. But I think it was when they had that one sack. I think it was Robert Quinn who got up and did the discount double check. And then it was like, it's over.
Yeah. Time for me to own you. Time for me to show you who's boss.
Yeah. And I know we didn't talk about it a lot because we got the call conveniently right in the middle of that discussion, but
my guy Lou, thank you, Lou.
I loved it. I know you didn't, but you probably didn't love it, but you can appreciate it. It's what we want, right? We want that raw nerve, right? Sometimes you want to see that. That's like what's his name with the winning the toss, right?
We want that motherfucking ball.
Yeah,
Jabril Peppers. Yeah, I definitely appreciate the rivalry. I certainly appreciate the fact that it's a clear rivalry game and it clearly meant a lot. And he got off on getting in the end zone and scoring it himself and telling everybody what for. That is what you want out of a rivalry. And it happens to be happening against my team. If it was my team doing it, if it was, Mitch Trubisky could have been good enough in his damn career to be able to do that in Lambeau, I would have absolutely been like, fuck yeah, that's my guy. Hell yeah. Tell him what it's all about. So I get it. But I'm not putting that sound on the board. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. But, and again, he didn't lie. The record,
100%.
He didn't even. The funny part is he didn't need to say it.
Because we know,
right?
We already know.
You've been watching this. You've been watching this going all the way back to Favre when he owned the Bears.
Oh yeah, he could do the same thing.
This is 25 years. I mean, I don't even want to know what the Bears' record is against the Packers since '92. It's not good.
Somebody will eventually again put up the number of quarterbacks the Bears have had since then, and just Favre and Rodgers, and that's on one side, and all these list of terrible, terrible football players on the
and
other.
We, you know what? We probably can't even name them all, but it's a lot. We can name a lot of them.
I don't want to name them. I don't want to think about them.
Especially when you think about these one-off guys, and every guy was the Bears' favorite guy. Like those Bear fans, that's our guy.
That's our guy. That's gonna be our future.
Rick Meyer.
Stop.
He's our guy.
No, I know you can start the list and then you're going to make me throw up. No, don't. No. I don't want to do that. It's too late in the evening for that shit.
So, I'll keep you on alert this week in case anything changes. Otherwise, I'll make sure I send you my picks with the notes for the game, a little blurb or something. So that you have something to go with.
Yeah, I can do the quick morning show and get in and out and be ready for the football party next weekend. That's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not even opposed to the idea if you just want to do a recap show, Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh, when you get
night.
Back.
No, now this week, since I'll miss.
Oh.
Since I'll miss the next show, if we want to do a recap show this week and then make our Thursday night, because that's actually a really good game Thursday night coming up.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea to do a midweek show to recap. You're right.
All then you're doing is making picks, right? You're just going through the picks, mm-hmm. and then you don't have to spend time trying to talk about the last week's games. We could do that and then make our Thursday night pick if you want to do it that way.
Nope, that's perfect. So whichever night in the middle of the week that you're available for that, then
Wednesday night. Wednesday night works the best for me because I'm off work starting Thursday. So
okay.
So Wednesday, 9 o'clock, I'll be around. Let's do that. And that way we can recap this week's worth of games and then save you the work for the weekend.
Yep, sounds good.
Then you're not feeling the stress of trying to recap all the games by yourself too.
And then do the picks. Yeah, that right. would be my voice would probably not survive that. All right, so our next show will be this coming Wednesday at 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern, where we will recap the activities of Week 7 and also have our pick ready for the Thursday night game. We might have our pick ready. Usually we tweet it out sometime Thursday, but we might have our pick ready for the...
It's a big game, so I'll have thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, sure. We'll both have thoughts about it.
I'm sure we'll still have the official pick, unless I'm just really certain. Like, I'm going one way over the other. I might just go, yeah, to hell with it. I'll make the pick. But then I'll still probably post it on Twitter just because that's what we do.
Yeah, I'll definitely post it on Twitter Thursday either way. Yeah. All right. So, unless you got anything else, I think we're done.
No, I'm good. That was a 3-hour football part. We haven't done one like that in a while.
A lot of non sequitur afterwards. A lot of
Hitler.
I kicked off a cancel culture discussion. I wasn't really trying to do that, but I just thought the juxtaposition between Ric Flair is canceled. He's terrible. Now let's bring in cop killer guy. What?
Well, it's everywhere right now. You cannot, no matter which way you affiliate, whether you're, you know, left, right, middle, doesn't matter where you are, you're not safe from it, right? We're finding that out.
If you did or said something and it gets discovered, it could be 10 years ago, emails, whatever. You are
tell
going
you what,
down.
No, tell you something. This show can never be big time because we're fucked.
Oh, we know it. And we are proud of it. And we continue to say things along those veins that would continue
true.
To get us canceled
because we know we're
already canceled from the shit that we've said from the 9 years we've been on the air already.
This is filter free. This is
If you
unfiltered.
Want anything close to our honest answers and our honest truth, this is the closest you're going to get. Every other show is just trying to make money by saying what they think is going to get most people to listen.
Yeah.
We don't have any.
I mean, well,
we don't care.
We even have the balls to pick football games as blowouts and not within 1 point of the spread.
Hey, that's real honesty right there. We feel that it's going to be by 30. We tell you it's going to be by 30.
Yeah, we don't go, oh, wait, the line is 9. I think this team's going to win by 10.
we're unique that way, I guess. All right, that will do it for us on a very long football party with some other things thrown in as well in the after show. That's why you get the after show, folks, so you can get truly unfiltered content like that. All right, he is Jay, I am Dre. This has been In Much Less Detail, the podcast, and we'll be back Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern. That'll be a short one-hour show to recap the happenings of Week 7 and some commentary, I'm sure, on the Thursday night game. And then for now, it looks like I'll be riding solo probably Sunday morning to give you our picks for Week 8. In the NFL. So that's what it is looking like on the horizon coming up in the next week. So Jay, you and your family enjoy your Halloween, and we will talk to you guys on Wednesday night.